The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here,
it ships from somewhere else, isn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? Do you know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. 1 week to go in the regular season, and then the playoffs begin, and a week off for the New England Patriots because they clinched a bye with their win over the Miami Dolphins on Saturday. A lot closer than we all expected, 27-24. They had to come from a 17-point deficit to do it, but they did it, and the W is really all that counts. So we'll play the Buffalo Bills this week, and I'll tell you why I don't think Tom Brady should play in this game a little later on. But Andy's here, Paul's here, and it's webradio@patriots.com, the email address, 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline, in this very special edition of PFW in Progress.
Let's get to the emails.
Why?
I don't know. I see one that says Andy Hart equal fraud in this. Is this what you have open?
We'll get to that.
I like having this screen so I can see emails.
So, guys, did you have a good
Paul's
Christmas?
Paul's pipe. Why do we want to talk about
Easy.
Paul's pipe?
Easy now.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yes.
That was
very good.
Yeah. It was enjoyable.
Made me forget all about the game, literally. Like, I feel like the game happened weeks ago.
Yeah. A lot has transpired.
It's beginning to feel
since the game.
But, I got some cool gadgets. I was telling you I got a outdoor weather/radio that you can wind that charges your phone, gives you weather alerts. Cool little gadget. Solar.
And you guys put up a wind turbine on the property. Is
no,
that right?
I have not.
Oh, no?
I've talked about it, but I've been told you have to go really high for where our location is to get the good wind.
Oh, okay.
So that's so you can go off the grid?
I'd like to.
When are you going
You know
off the
I'd
grid?
Like to go off the grid.
I do know. And I'm
couple
I'm
cows,
encouraging
couple
you,
pigs.
I'm encouraging
like
you to do so.
Garden. I wouldn't mind doing that down the road.
Oh, God. Paul, and your Christmas
Fred.
Was good?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was very enjoyable.
Kids have a good time?
Kids had a great time. Got Xbox Kinect.
There you go.
Put that up on Sunday. The days are all confused
that easy?
To me now. Well, Beth did it, so I couldn't tell you. I was putting together various other things.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You're sore from putting together a foosball table.
It's unbelievable. I am not the handiest individual in the in the room.
Do you even have tools?
Tools? Well, you know what's funny is I was seriously putting together a foosball table. And it says
that was not a joke, and he's sore.
Don't use a drill. It says specifically don't use a drill. So I started, and I mean, literally, there were hundreds of different screws that had to go in. And I'm, finally, I just said, this is stupid. Why am I doing this all by hand? So I went out and got the drill, and I was done like a half hour later. But I don't know why anyone's supposed to use
a drill.
Well,
they don't want you to
over-tighten, probably.
Yeah.
Well, can't you just...
Too much torque.
Yeah, can't you just lower the torque and just...
I don't...
To the end.
Anyway, all right. So,
good Christmas though. To answer your question.
So everybody has played now 15 games, and one thing we do know is that the Patriots will not be playing in the wild card round, which is good. They'll have a home game in the divisional playoffs, either January 16th or 17th. But beyond that, we don't know much, right? As far as who they're going to play. really, we won't know until after the wild card round. Anything can happen. The Patriots could go from a one seed to a two seed this weekend. So nothing is set in stone in terms of that.
Isn't it the 14th and 15th?
Is it the 14th?
Just out of
that date sounded wrong to me, but I didn't know what to offer up.
I just wanted to do it for just for clarification purposes. Is that right, Kevin?
Okay.
Look who all of a sudden doesn't want to talk.
14th and 15th of January. But there's no telling who they're going to play.
No. And I would continue to fear pretty much anyone they play other than the Denver Broncos, if that ends up
being... Well, Andy's still afraid of San Diego.
Dead serious, I am. Right. Even though they're not going to be in it, I wouldn't want to play them to start the postseason here.
Yeah, I think you saw who San Diego was on Sunday.
Yeah, and I saw who the Patriots were.
So the question to you is...
They give up bombs down the field.
The question to you is, should any team be afraid to fear the Patriots?
Yes, all of them.
So then really what you're saying negates it. I mean,
so no one should really go to the playoffs because they're all too afraid.
What are you talking
about? You get back
about?
To your whole stupid argument where I can't think Brady and the offense is great and I can't think the defense stinks. Well, I think both. And whichever one is magnified more that day is going to be the story of this postseason.
Yeah, but why are you fearing teams?
Because Matt Moore had a 17-0 lead and then absolutely crapped himself to give you the game. I don't think every quarterback's going to do that in the postseason.
Yeah, but you also think that they're going to come out like that in the postseason, flat like that?
They have the last 2 years.
Well, that's true. You got me there.
Wow.
Wow, this show's over early.
Just reached in to get a Diet Pepsi. I figured I could take the next half hour off.
By the way, they have of late, Fred, in games. This team doesn't start fast.
I don't think they came out flat against the Jets last year.
Did you see this Dolphins game? Did you see this Dolphins game where they punted seven times, whatever it was, in the first half?
I know, but I
including
think,
three straight three
I,
and outs?
I don't think...
Tom Brady did his best Tim Tebow impression.
Okay. I don't think that we can...
Including touchdowns in the red zone.
I don't think that we can understate, you know, the whole thing with Matt Light and Mankins. I think that threw the offense into
huge.
A dizzy.
But absolutely this team huge. Hasn't scored with regularity in the first quarter since September.
It's true. It's true, until they get their legs underneath.
And with this defense, which has fought some of these games, has fought to keep them in it, I think that's a bad scenario. If a lot of the stuff, if they're doing right now, even though they're winning, I don't think lends itself to winning in the postseason.
Well, you know,
starting slow.
I mean, it was a perfect storm for Miami. I mean, they've got a good defense. They a third-ranked defense. Mike Nolan, defensive coordinator.
They played better than I thought it would. I told you that last week. That I didn't think much of their defense, so I want to give you props for that, Freddie.
And then, you know, the whole thing with Lankins playing left tackle, I think it was a perfect storm.
You call him Lankins?
Lankins?
Did I say Lankins?
Okay, yes, I'm getting the nod behind me. You called him Lankins.
Okay.
Logan Mankins is now Lankins.
Again, he still doesn't want to talk.
I combined his first
name
and his last name. But, you know, I do think that upset the Patriots offense. I don't know when Mankins hurt, Light hurt his ankle. It wasn't during warm-ups. It had to be, the day before in a walkthrough or whatever, because he came out in sweats, and they were testing that ankle.
I still want to know what's going on in those walkthroughs.
Yeah.
We have the most violent physical walkthroughs of any team in the NFL.
You know, what's going on? Oh, for God's sake.
It's a holiday week. No one's listening anyway.
Oh, that's not true. You see Twitter's blowing up wondering if we were having a show today.
But what, three people?
Blowing up.
Four.
It's trending.
But I think
it's trending.
I don't think the Patriots were prepared for Matt Light not playing, is the bottom line.
Freddie, I agree with you
they
wholeheartedly. This particular game,
shouldn't have been.
Andy's larger point, I think, is accurate. This particular game, I think, had a lot to do with the state of flux up front.
No,
I think
but
that's
you're
why
also
you got
assuming
out to such a bad start
everything,
offensively.
I mean, the running backs stunk. The same running backs who were going to block the guy who was coming, the extra guy, or not
Listen,
block him.
You're a very argumentative little man today. I said, Andy's larger point is accurate. They've started slow. That's not a new trend. Their offense has not jumped out of the gate consistently over the last...
Is?
I think that people have an idea, a little bit more an idea of how to play them, and then it's taken a while for the Patriots to sort of adjust to what teams are doing.
Right.
Teams
well, then,
are finding a
then
way.
There must be more than one way to play the Patriots because this happens almost every game.
Well, Brian Watt, remember I talked to Brian Waters.
Of course there's more than
about
one way
this.
To play the Patriots.
And
what does that mean?
But defenses know that what they're facing in Brady. They're facing a great passing offense. So they're going to throw whatever they can at you early, different, change, whatever it is.
Right.
And it takes the Patriots some time to, okay, this is what they're doing.
We've seen a couple of games it's been pressure. Kansas City put, you know, uncharacteristically sent a lot of guys. Miami was sending 6 and 7 early in that game. So you've seen some different things, and I think that, what was it, Denver, double team Gronkowski, really the first time that he had seen something like that. So there's been some things that teams have done.
And somebody did that to Welker. Remember, Welker said, that's the first time I've really been doubled like that. It's changed. There's been a few different ways, but teams are throwing something at them, and it's working early sometimes.
And then Brady figures it out, and Bill O'Brien figures it out, and they make some adjustments. I thought the adjustment this week, this particular game, was to make a concerted effort to get the ball out of Tom's hand a little bit quicker, and I thought it was funny that they did it by, you know, sort of cutting back a little bit on the protection and spreading the team out, which forced them to cover a little bit.
But I think it was a good call.
Great
call. I said,
it worked.
The protection, part of the protection was the running backs, and they were struggling in picking up.
Woodhead
also,
had a tough day.
You're stuck with Marcus. Your tackles are your tackles, so if you say we're just going to protect better, they still have to block. Whereas if you take guys out of the picture, it limits what the defense can do.
Woodhead was listed with an abdomen problem throughout the week. Then he had a little hard time picking up blocks early. We didn't see him much later in the game.
Well, I think it's because he was ineffective as a blitz picker.
You think it was more play rather than injury?
Well, he's been on the injury report for a while.
No, I know he has, but I don't know if he aggravated
it. He was putting
the
franchise in jeopardy.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point, Fred, because, I mean, who are we to say what injuries on that injury report are real and are not, or significant enough to affect performance? Matt Light wasn't even there, and he didn't play. So the days of just sort of going down that injury report and saying, well, he's been on the injury report for 3 weeks and not worrying about it, you can't do that. You have no idea who's significantly hampered by those, and that's the way Bill wants it.
And I have to assume the Light injury goes back to the when he was in the walking boot after the—
I think it was Indy?
Indy maybe? Or Chiefs.
Oh, the Chiefs. Chiefs. Jack, who owned Chiefs?
Whatever. One of those two games, he was in a walking boot, he was on the injury report, and then he played. And I think we all, okay, well, he played. Now we just all forget about it, but— He could roll it anywhere.
No, I know. It could have happened at his house.
Yeah, you step on a ball in your living room, and if you already have a bad ankle or whatever.
Absolutely.
So,
but I think my point is I don't think they were prepared for it.
No, I don't think they were either. I mean, I don't think the doctors would have been out there, and I'm not even sure the Mankins thing would have happened had they prepared for it. Then maybe they would have gone with the tackles, but maybe that was just the best scenario because I'm guessing— You know, Bill always talks about you only have so many backups. So I'm guessing Mankins gets reps every week to be the emergency tackle, and this was kind of an emergency.
Do we get to the bottom of that? Are those his first NFL snaps as a tackle?
No, I don't.
Oh, really?
I haven't gotten to the bottom. I thought he played against Pittsburgh.
We didn't know. I was told that
people reported that game day, Saturday.
Okay. People I don't trust, some people, with facts.
Okay.
I thought he played some.
You can
Pittsburgh.
Suspend belief here and try to figure out who we might be talking about.
Might rhyme with crap sheet.
Well, whatever.
I don't know if that was accurate.
Whatever the case, it certainly looked like it was his first snaps at left tackle.
Well, some of the. I mean, he was only out there for a series and a half, whatever. And Woodhead was the guy on one of them.
He probably would have gotten better as time went on.
I'll take my chance.
I don't think he was. I didn't think he did anything egregiously bad when he was out. He wasn't out there very long.
Right. So now
the problem there is you're already patching it together and then you lose one. I mean, to me, there's two guys you go into every game, you know, when you have a situation like that. You have Waters and Mankins, and then you lose one of those guys.
Right.
That caused all kinds of, adjustments from there. Now you have, you made the point, Freddie, that you think that they may have done it because they wanted to use Solder continuing in that third tight end role. So he's the starting right tackle. You want to go with the three tight end package. He's the tight end. Cannon comes in at right tackle. So that's, neat and easy. So you put Mankins over there. Well, now Mankins comes out. You had a package that evidently you wanted to use in that game that you can no longer use because now Soldier's playing left tackle. Cannon's at right tackle. Donald Thomas stays at left guard. I mean, it was all hands on deck.
Yeah.
And they lost. You know, Paul poo-pooed this a little bit. We argued about it earlier. But, I mean, now they've lost. When you get to this situation, three Pro Bowlers, Copen, Mankins, and Light, and you're already without Vollmer, who supposedly was a second-team All-Pro last year. I mean, that's four, theoretically, resume-wise, elite-caliber offensive linemen, and you're replacing them with rookie fifth-round picks who 6 months ago was having cancer treatments. And I mean, there was a lot hitting that fan.
I only poo-pooed it because you poo-poo it.
All this time we've been talking about the defense, and now all of a sudden there's a crisis on the offensive line. So
yeah, that was a big part of that. We probably spent 45 minutes on Sunday on the pregame social, Andy and I, talking about the offensive line. I didn't think it was as big of a concern, you know, the whole situation with Light. This was after we found out Light was inactive. And that's the beauty, by the way. Andy made this point on Sunday.
My favorite part.
It's like a live blog. It's like a live audio blog. The Patriots pregame social. Things are happening. We're reacting to it immediately.
That was the idea.
And I'm glad I had it. It
was brilliant. It was brilliant on my part. But then we were how it unfolded, and we were arguing how important it would be.
And Cannon, and I was like, I really don't want Cannon matched up against Wake. And then we had some pregame reps where they were blogging about
Mankins at left tackle
and Solder at right tackle, and I was like, oh, I feel a little bit better about that, because my whole thing was I wasn't comfortable with Cannon playing a full game, because I think in the short points we've seen him, he hasn't been great, and I didn't really want to see him get thrown out there against Cameron Wake and just say he'll be fine. You know, he ended up, I thought, being okay when he did have to end up playing after Mankins went down. But that was my whole thing, and we argued about the offensive line a little bit. Paul just thinks you throw any five shoemakers out there and you're fine. And for the most part, this team has done that. But I think when you start to compound it, it's not just one guy. It's not all of a sudden it's every,
I think it was preparation.
Tom, Dick, and Harry.
See, I'm with Fred. I think it was it was just as much a preparation problem as anything else.
Right.
I think if they had been ready to deal with the adversity that they ended up having to deal with, it wouldn't have been so bad.
It wouldn't have been so bad against Miami.
But you're still going to have Donald Thomas
on
the field.
I don't want to go into playoff games. I don't want to be missing any starters, but it's a fact of life. Everybody's missing a lot of starters.
Why was Donald Thomas on the field? I kept asking myself that during the game. Evidently,
it's because of Fred's theory about the
Solder
situation.
Were Wendell and Conley both active and healthy?
Yeah.
But I think they're both hurt, too.
But if they're active, they should play.
I know, but...
Yeah, your point is why Thomas over Wendell.
Because it seems like they've liked Wendell and Conley for a couple of years now, and all of a sudden Donald Thomas is the guy out there instead of Wendell.
Why Thomas over
Wendell? Whether Wendell plays center or guard. Dan Conley was fine for Mankins last year at guard, so move him to left guard and move Wendell at center. Right?
Maybe it's just they're banged up enough where a healthy Thomas is better than...
But they're playing.
These guys
but they're
are
playing
at.
Every game,
right?
You know,
they even rotated at center.
Both centers. Wendell played a steady load. I mean, he played probably as much as Conley. I mean, I haven't seen Mike's numbers, but I bet you he played a fair amount.
So is Thomas better than those guys?
Well, maybe. You know, this is why I wrote in PFW this week.
Good edit letter this week. People read it. Get it off newsstands now.
I am more worried about the health of Tom Brady and the team than getting the number one seed.
You should be.
I think that. You look at this offensive line, and unless these are just one-week injuries and Light and Mankins come back fine next week, I really look at sitting Tom Brady. Why risk his health, you know, doing the same thing as they did last week when, you know, it gets you a home game?
And he's hurt. I want to state that for the record. I watched him a lot in the locker room, and I know there hasn't been a lot in the media about it, but he's hurt. He has a left shoulder arm something injury. I'm not saying he's injured. I'm not saying he's going to miss time, but he's hurt. Something was causing him discomfort and pain in the post-game locker room.
Well, even in Boston.com today, they had a little paparazzi photo of him and Giselle with a stroller with the two boys walking in Boston, and he had a big, heavy coat on, so you couldn't tell what was on underneath. But his left arm was down by his side, and he was pushing the stroller with one hand.
He was doing the exact same thing in the locker room. He had his game pants on, put his robe on, you know, the one that says Brady on the back that's really kind of
good. The Matt Light robe.
Yeah. He went out with a doctor, and I'm assuming here at Gillette Stadium, there's an x-ray room across the hall. I'm assuming he went and got x-rays on something, arm, shoulder, something on that left side. And he came back in, and he was walking back with his arm tucked right next to him, and I was watching him every step, and I think he realized I was watching him, and he looked at me in the eye and started swinging his arm a little bit, like, see, no, it still works.
It's like Rodney Dangerfield. Oh, my arm.
But, he was clearly in quite a bit of discomfort, and I think he's a guy that plays through and deals with discomfort all the time. So when you really notice it, that's not a good sign.
It's like that time, Freddie, that you and I saw him in Miami, and he was reaching up for his bag, and he couldn't get it.
He
asked one of the equipment guys to come over and lift his arm, lift his bag off the shelf.
Right.
And left arm. It's his left arm and or shoulder. It's not his throwing
He'll
arm.
He'll be able to play.
What are you...
Fred mesmerized by another infomercial.
No. So...
He can't come. He wasn't, but he can't put a sentence together.
So you add all this up together, and I say sit him.
Yeah,
you
know, I think
trying to win a game with Hoyer, if you don't, but you still got your home game in the divisional round. Guys will be more healthy.
Plus, they still could end up with the number one seed. Who knows? And who knows if the one seed is better than the two seed?
Right.
But all that aside, it has nothing to do with any of that for me. Now, Brady's health is an issue. If he's too hurt to play, whatever, if Logan's Mankins too hurt to play, then don't play him.
But that's, I think, what Fred's talking about.
Right? I think the biggest thing this team needs is to play well. It's what I just said. They don't start what... And they're going to have 3 weeks. I don't think they're good enough to just say, oh, we'll be fine. We'll roll out of bed and we'll hit the ground running in the postseason. So if these guys can play, I think they need to play. I think they need to build positive momentum personally. Because I don't think they're playing all that well on either side of the football.
But that's a big if they can play. I mean, yeah, maybe they can. But
oh, yeah, if they're hurt, then don't play them.
Right. And if you're not playing those linemen, do you play Brady?
Well, yeah, because I might have to play Brady behind those linemen in the playoff game. I mean, there's a lot of ifs in our heads right here.
But listen, they're going to play.
Obviously, this is all, you know, the medical staff, you know, gives Belichick the information, and Belichick makes the decision. But I think if my medical staff is telling me, look, they could use another week. You give them another week, then they've got the bye. They'll be good to go in the division round. I really think about, okay, let's ratchet it down for this game. We'll put in Hoyer. We'll see what we can do. You know,
I agree. Yeah, but and that may be fine, and I have no if they do that, I won't criticize them. But my only concern is not win loss. It's not bye. It's not number one seed. It's more just if I can get one more game of them trying to play well, I'd like to see again. How many times did they punt in the first half against Miami? I want this team clicking.
But let's say Brady isn't 100%, and maybe he has to take a series off in the playoffs. It wouldn't be the worst thing to get Hoyer a few reps in a game.
Well, he'd have to be dead.
But I think there's probably a good chance that you're going to see Hoyer for a legitimate series, not just a mop-up thing.
Both.
I think you'll see him play it like he's played sort of a lot of these finales.
He doesn't like the three-week window. If he already has the bye, he doesn't like going 3 weeks.
I don't think he'll sit everybody, but it's going to be interesting to see what the state of the offensive line. And he makes a good point. If Mankins' injury, and we've gotten some conflicting reports on this. Some of the people have been writing that he was clamoring to get back in the game, and then they wrapped it up, and then it stiffened up on him, and that's why
they wrap it up.
I don't know if that's why he didn't go back in the game, or if it was a more significant injury. I don't know. So it's going to be interesting to see if he's going to be able to play. Matt Light is supposed to talk today in the locker room, and we're going to try to get him for the PFW TV interview this week. After he's done, he didn't play the last game, so it's a little odd. It's a little out of character for someone who hasn't talked, hasn't played, who didn't play in the previous game. Now, Chung has done that a couple of times and sort of fooled us.
Right.
I think at least twice he talked to us during the course of the week and then didn't end up playing in the game on Sunday. So I'm not saying that means he's going to play. It might be a situation like you said, Fred. He might be okay to play on Sunday, and they may just opt to hold him out.
You know what might be the worst-case scenario? Is if those two guys, they got through a scare, and both Mankins and Light can go in the postseason game, and then both get hurt. Because now you're scrambling, because you think they're going to play. You don't have as many. You're almost better off in some where they're inactive, and you have prepared more options. But I think the worst-case scenario is those two guys get out there in the first round of the playoffs, and within the first half of the first quarter, you lose both of them, and now you're scrambling again. It's all hitting the fan yet again.
Well, that's when you have to really worry about your medical that Fred's talking about.
Trust them.
You have to trust that there's a difference. Do you remember the Patriots played that playoff game against the Jets when Mangini was the Jets coach? It's a wild card game. We blew them out. Cornerback for the Jets, Andre Dyson,
yes.
I think. All week, it was like, he can't play. He had a bad knee, I think. And sure enough, the game time comes, and he says, he's going to give it a go. He started. And Brady just went, boom.
Yep.
15-yard out, boom. 15-yard out, boom.
He couldn't do anything.
He couldn't move. And he spent the rest of the game on the bench. It doesn't do you any good if you're out there playing. And I understand these guys are tough, and they're trying to be there for their teammates and all that stuff. But if you can't play and you wind up on the bench, you almost hurt your team more than if you just were home.
Yep, right. No question.
Right. You got to be effective.
You got to be able to actually play, not just take a roster spot that you find out 20 minutes into the game somebody else should have had that.
That's what I'm saying.
Day.
If Matt Light,
that's
is,
why I
is,
think it's the worst case in, scenario.
If he's in civilian clothes, he almost hurts the team less than if he starts, because you're thinking he's okay, and then all of a sudden he gets out there the first time he tries to set, and put some pressure on that foot or the ankle, whatever the problem is, and he's out. Now you're scrambling, like Andy said, and you haven't really prepared for, you know, what it's going to be like. What are we going to do if he goes down? I mean, I know you talk about it, but you're not doing it. You're not.
And you might not have enough bodies with the two of them. If you lose Light and Mankins all of a sudden, that's two backup bodies you need immediately. Now what if somebody else gets a normal in-game injury and all of a sudden... No. Step slide.
So this is an interesting game. It's, you know, a lot of decisions have to be made. I think your medical staff becomes very, very important this week in the information that they're giving Belichick. And then Belichick has to make decisions based on that. So this is a big game.
Plus the guys the other way, the Spikes and the Chung that I've said I'd like to see in a cameo before
right.
they at least
right.
you're expecting them to be the saviors of the defense come January.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit more important. You were talking about they need to play well. I'm not sure how much they're going to get out of going out and lambasting the Bills this week. Now, it could work the opposite way. Do you have another life and death game like you did against Miami?
Right.
That could hurt you.
But or even if you just start with
I'm not sure
you know,
that
four or five
great.
Three and outs, punts, stuff early in the half, you know, what made the stadium boo here
right.
on Saturday. If you start that way again, I just don't think that's good heading into
a
postseason when you've lost in the postseason in recent years. You don't feel overly confident. I'd like to feel good heading into January.
Yeah, no, I understand. But I do think there's some value of getting Spikes and Chung out
Certainly.
There if you could.
If you could.
And who knows
well,
what their story
thanks, Rex.
What's going
could
on?
Could you come out and help us out if you could?
Jeez.
Who knows what Spikes and Chung's story is?
Rex.
I mean,
we
get teased every week with them, and they don't play.
I've given up. I told Paul I'm no longer accepting questions on Patrick Chung. I won't answer him anymore because I've been answering for a month. He's going to play.
Right.
We both were convinced Sunday during the pregame, yeah, this has got to be the week he comes back. He's been practicing. He hasn't missed any practice time. He's bouncing around the locker room. He's talking to the reporters, and he still doesn't play.
Henry from Montana says, you guys are completely missing the point. What matters is that Brady plays every snap this week and tries to bridge the 190-yard gap to catch Breeze for single-season yardage record. Welker can make the top 10 all-time receiving yards. Gronk can set the single-season yards for a tight end. Health, smelth, we want records. he's being sarcastic.
Thanks, Fred. I know sometimes
he
I
didn't
miss...
He didn't sign it with sarcastic.
Sometimes
Hank.
I miss the sarcasm.
No, he had a little emoticon.
What's the one
what?
For sarcasm?
Well, it's got the wink.
What did he have?
So a semicolon and a...
Yeah, a semicolon and a smile.
Parenthesis.
What do you call that?
Emoticon.
Wow. Learn something new every day. Do you know that one?
No.
You did too.
I knew what you were referencing. I would never have said, well, luckily he signed it with an emoticon.
I would have just put the, you know... The,
sounds
the,
like another the type wink, of Transformer. Yeah. The Decepticons. The emoticons.
Yes.
Give him the nod.
He really is. He's become Chris Berman. Just start wearing an ugly tie and you got it.
That tie he wore last night, it's like somebody threw up on it.
Gargling with lava.
Health has become the number one story, I think, for this team. Not the defense, health. Defense number
see, but
two.
I think
the
every...
defense goes, phew, they're off our back row.
Right, see, right. I think every team, that's the same thing for every team. Health is the number one concern.
Maybe.
I mean, you're watching any of these games? It's like
it's a battle of attrition.
It's like you said this morning, Freddie. It's like, and they want to go to 18 games.
Right.
I mean, like, are they even watching the product that's getting? I mean, it's whoever can actually stand and go out there and play at this time of year. And that's going to get worse the next couple of weeks in the playoffs when the, you know, we always know that the tempo changes and, all, and the urgency changes and all that stuff. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they're able to do it. But right now, it's every team dealing with significant injuries on both sides of the football.
In other news, it was good to see the Jets lose to the Giants. So the Jets continued to be the little brother to the Giants in New Jersey.
Yep.
And Brandon Jacobs had some words to say to Rex Ryan after the game. Time to shut up.
Oh, I thought
boy.
He was actually setting
fat
up
boy.
A an audio clip there. And Brandon Jacobs
called
had some fat
boy.
No, I know.
He's on the Google
and
circles right now.
But he even had it like historically. He was referencing, and that's why Gilbride took a swing at his bride took a swing at his dad because they're all the same. And then he just starts ranting and raving about they're hateable. And
no, he called him a disrespectful bastard.
That's being a jackass.
And I noticed that he came out with his typical preamble at the end of the game. I may not be the only one, but I will give the other team credit. When they beat us.
Yeah. He's the only one that does
that. He said that before, that he was the only one. Now he says, I may not, because evidently Fred must have gotten through to him. I may not be the only one, but at least I give credit to the other team when they beat us.
What does he get that? He also told Stephen A. Smith in an interview that in this league, if you win a Super Bowl, you get 8 years after that. They give you 8 years.
To lose?
So that means Belichick has 24?
Yeah. So what does that mean? Like, what does he get the number eight, you know?
It's a fact.
Yeah.
Like a one this, I mean, two this year is a one next year. Like these assumed rules of fact.
I don't know. I think he is kind of wearing thin in New Jersey.
I still think he's a good coach, but I think you're right. I think he is wearing thin.
Yeah. And the brother, you know, openly talking about, you know, I'm going to be a head coach and this and that. It's like, if you're the current head, shut up. Just do your job. I don't want you out in the media talking about becoming a head coach. That really is. It's disrespectful to the job you're doing, and it's distracting.
Everybody just do your job!
Especially when his own players are talking about how they have too many schemes, and they try too much, and they can't learn all their schemes, and they get blah, 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 blah. And he's not even doing a good job with
the two of them, they want to be the show. They want to be the show. And, you know, the way that Rob runs around on the sideline with the hair...
Just the hair and the brother. And the
I do think that he is, Rob, I mean, Rex is wearing a little thin.
Really beautiful feet.
I think he's starting to, you know, when it's amazing how we say this about all the coaches, but when they don't have exactly what they need to succeed, how vulnerable they can look, you know?
It's kind of the Vito Stellino thing. Our friend from the pregame social was tweeting this morning that, you know, they were talking about head coaching candidates for Jacksonville. And he said, first of all, when somebody brought up Belichick, well, is he bringing Brady with him? Because he didn't win anything before Brady. And then somebody actually asked him, and he said, Shad Khan?
Well, Shahid, but they call him Shad.
Oh, Shad Khan said, basically, he made it sound like he's told Vito Stellino that he wouldn't want to win with Belichick because he doesn't want to win with people he doesn't like.
Right.
Which is stupid.
You like losing?
Right.
What do you like better?
Good luck in Loserville. Hyo Paul is your GM. He'll have all players that haven't committed crimes, and they're really nice guys in the locker room.
You know that my team would be the worst team in football.
Yes. They'd be very good in the community, though.
Yes.
Yes.
We would do a lot of wonderful things in the community.
Until they started getting booed at hospitals because they're so bad.
But I wouldn't take
it. Like, I don't want to see him.
This guy sucks.
But the only thing is,
making me feel bad.
I would never take it to the level that if someone had a personality that I didn't necessarily like, I wouldn't have them on my football team. I'm talking about crime.
Yeah.
I'm talking about they hit their wives and, you know, they get, you know, they have gun charges and whatnot. You know, there's a difference between that.
Sam Hurd couldn't play for you.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have Sam Hurd on my team. I wouldn't have, you know, plaques on
Ray
my
Caruth,
team.
Ray Caruth, you have quite a line there.
Yeah. Those are the guys that I would stay away from. You know, because the head coach and I don't necessarily see eye to eye. That wouldn't be a problem with me. Bill Belichick could coach my team any day.
I just don't really understand why Vito Stellino has this clear personal hate for Bill Belichick.
Yeah, there's
a
lot
of that.
It's
very clear.
It's pathological.
But how can it be? Like, I can see Ron Borges. At least you've spent time in the same town, had to work with him. You know, Vito Stellino's in Jacksonville. What do you have personally against Bill Belichick?
You never know. Bill might have, like, you know, made him look like an idiot in a press conference. And
oh, I don't think Bill had to do much there.
No, but that's what I'm saying, you know. It probably
So
Vito...
you're saying he conducted a press conference and Vito Stellino showed up.
Right. Let's get to some of the emails. webradio@patriots.com. And by the way, the phone number is 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline down here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios.
Well done.
Speaking of
fresh
sponsors, I picked Ocho Cinco as my JetBlue high flyer for our TV show.
Well, you were right last week. Ridley had a good game.
I wouldn't say he's the high flyer.
No,
but
Welker
he was in
would
there.
Have been the high flyer for last week.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're close. Well, so we'll see if Ocho can get more than one for 15
I'm thinking
week.
This last game, they kind of chuck it up there, see what he can do.
Yeah, but it's Hoyer.
I thought we
You're
wanted
saying
to feel good about
Hoyer.
Ourselves.
What?
I thought we wanted to feel good about ourselves heading into the playoffs.
Plus, no chance. Yeah. Continue to watch him, and I see they break the huddle. There's four receivers on the field. He runs one way, and then Brady yells. He runs the other way.
Yeah, maybe they should, like, you know, communicate via Twitter.
Which is why I defended him early in the year. I want to cut ties with that. Because I defended him that everybody said he doesn't know the playbook. I said, no, it's not the playbook. He knows the play. He doesn't know the adjustments and the reads and seeing everything. He clearly doesn't know the playbook because he breaks the huddle and he runs the wrong way.
Yeah.
We're in week freaking 16. Know which way to go.
Oh my God.
And I really like him, but come on, enough is enough.
Yeah. Phil in Nova Scotia, Paul said recently that he'd like to be notified when the Patriots defense won a game for the offense. Well, Paulie, consider last Saturday's game your notice. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Not so much.
Although if the Pats D had played against a quarterback that could throw, they would have been buried deeper than Andy's tongue in Brooklyn Decker.
Right, thank you.
Regardless,
just
I'll take
your
it.
Own argument. They get when it's 24 better than bad, who couldn't throw.
When it's better than bad, it's good.
Now, what part of Brooklyn Decker is my tongue?
Oh, see now.
Paul's confused.
No, I was doing. Never mind.
I thought the best line on the blog during the game was when Ahedebo took his obligatory injury timeout. Somebody said, "Does Ahedebo mean boo boo in a foreign language?"
I was a little surprised you put that in the paper.
Why?
I don't know. I always think we let a little more fly online, and then
I thought that was pretty funny.
Who was the guy who wrote in about just kidding? Said Matt Ridley had like a couple of good runs.
Oh,
and someone wrote in.
One of my pet peeves is whenever one guy does well, you know, Deion Branch will do well. Oh, where's Taylor Price? You know, and Ridley was having a decent game, and of course somebody writes in, "Where's Shane Vereen?" You know. But he was just kidding.
They're finally doing what Paul and I have been hoping they would do, is seeing if Ridley can be the guy. Two straight weeks, double-digit carries, two straight weeks, 60-something yards. Well, let's see what we got here.
And we were talking to some people who were saying they were wondering if he could do it consecutive weeks like that. And I thought it was interesting. I got a quote from Brian Waters after the game about Ridley in
how
particular.
He runs. Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, but he said, now, you know, the challenge for him now is, listen, we know he's a talented back. There's a reason why the Patriots use such a high draft pick on him. The challenge for him now is to show that he can do it consistently. He can prepare this week like he did last week and next week like he did this week and build off of that. So clearly the ability to be out there and practice at a high level and prepare at a high level is something that the coaches are trying to get instilled in this guy, because even a veteran like Waters noticed
it. And it wouldn't be unprecedented for him to come out and have a good post. I mean, we've seen the last couple of years. Sean Green was the guy 2 years ago. James Starks was the guy last year. These nobody running backs who come out and help a team make a playoff run and lead the NFL in rushing.
Yeah, I mean, even Maroney in 07, I thought, had his best games down the stretch and into the playoffs. He really had done nothing for most of that season.
You do get the feeling that for a rookie, this particular team is very mentally taxing. Like, it's tough mentally to be on this team as a rookie.
And for some veterans.
You know,
that's you mentioned mental. That, to me, is the biggest, the most impressive thing about this team this season, is how tough they've been. Mentally tough.
Yeah.
We don't have to go back that far to remember when, it wasn't always so.
No. Nope.
It used to be back in the championship days that it was commonplace. You're down 17-0, no big deal. We'll come back, but that's not the way it's been lately. And the last, three or four games, I think three out of the last four games, they've fallen down by two scores or something like that. They've been behind consistently, and it hasn't been a problem.
I mean, it shows that they are definitely, when this happens, they are the better team. There's no doubt about it. But consistency has been a problem, particularly early in games. And, you know, whatever the reason is, if you fall behind like that against a Baltimore or Pittsburgh, forget it.
That's what I was going to say. They're lucky they are the better team.
Right.
They won't necessarily be far and away the better team in January.
All right. I'll play the negative side of the street because I know you like it, Fred.
Sure.
I really think that it just shows you that even though they have by far and away a better record than these teams, they're not that much better than them. I think it's one thing when it's a one-time thing and it happens, but when you consistently have problems with these bad teams – putting them away, I think it shows that you're really not that much better.
Well, no, the offense is head and shoulders above most of the teams in the league, you know, as far as defense.
But I'm just talking about the team.
No, I know. But,
you know, people look at it and say, geez, you know, how do they fall? How do they struggle to put away Indy? How do they fall behind Washington? How do they fall behind Denver, a team that can only run the ball, can't do anything else? You know, they fall 17-0. Well, I don't think there's that much difference. And those teams, there's one major one, and we all know what that is, but I don't think top to bottom there's that much difference between these teams. And I certainly don't think there's that much difference between Pittsburgh and Baltimore either. I think they're all sort of just, you know, good teams. And the ones with the better quarterbacks tend to win more games.
And the ones with the worst quarterbacks, like the Broncos, tend to lose games when those bad quarterbacks throw four picks.
Well, very interesting scenario going to develop for them this week, by the way, Broncos.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think it was Big Al who guaranteed me that they would win both of those games, and I told you they'd lose one.
Yep.
Okay. 40-14 to a team on a 7-game losing streak.
PJ writes in, The subject says, Andy Hart equals fraud. He says, hey, guys, it's been a while since I've written, but I still listen to the show religiously and love what you guys do. That being said, I must call out Andy Hart. A couple of weeks ago, there was a debate over who was better, Jason Witten or Rob Gronkowski. While the debate is somewhat silly, it is exactly what we love about PFW. Anyway, both sides had great arguments because both players are very good. The problem I have is that Andy Hart keeps telling me to use the eyeball test. This is the same Andy Hart who argued with Paul over who watches less football. The argument went something like this. Andy, who cares about the Picks record? I barely watch any football. Paul, well, I'm doing okay, and I only watch one half of another game this weekend, the Monday night game. Andy, well, I only watch one quarter of the game, if that. So as you see, it's hard to keep hearing the phrase eyeball test when the eyeball in question is not watching the games. Now, after all of Andy's ranting about using your eyeballs, he comes up with a power ranking system, which he touts as the best in the world because it takes the eyeballs out of it and only uses stats.
Good.
Paul is guilty of this, too, as he thinks all Patriots turnovers are because the other team gave the ball to them, although all of Green Bay's turnovers are because they made great plays, or that Green Bay's defense is better because it gives up points in garbage time, but rips the Pats D for giving up garbage points to Indy. When Fred says the defense played well against Indy for three quarters, Paul says, don't all four quarters count? Obviously not for Green Bay, because that is garbage time. With all of that said, I love you guys and rarely miss a show. I only write a call when I have a problem with what you guys say, which probably isn't fair. So I want you guys to know how much an out-of-the-area Pats fan loves the coverage and knowledge you bring to us concerning the Pats. Happy holidays to all of you. Have a great 2012. And P.S., you guys are extremely knowledgeable when it comes to the eyeball test with the Pats and usually right on the money. And Andy is great with the eyeball test when it comes to Brooklyn Decker. And Eric is good with the eyeball test when it comes to, well, never mind. So that's PJ.
Where is Eric?
Yeah, is he out today?
I don't know. You're his boss.
How many days is he going to take off? No, seriously.
I mean, I'm being serious. I think you should yell at him.
Didn't you give him
never
Friday
responded
off?
To the lunch email.
That's the thing is, on Friday, he took a day off because he was going to have to work on Monday.
Work? An hour?
He ended up not really having to do anything on Monday.
Right.
But I don't know how that meant he needed another day off.
Right.
Like, usually he comes in on Monday after we work on Sunday.
Right.
I don't get this.
Boy, I'll tell you. Let's see. Paul writes in, there's a story going around that there is more than one team willing to give up two first-round picks for the chance to get Andrew Luck. Assume this is true. This is the hypothetical. You were the Rams. You have a pretty good quarterback. You have the number one overall pick. Do you trade for two first-round picks, or is there an impact player you see coming out in the next draft you would use the number one overall pick on? Also, I'm hearing the Jets may no longer see Sanchez as their quarterback of the future. Do you think the Jets want to beat the Patriots badly enough that they would be willing to give up two first-round draft picks to get Andrew Luck?
Okay, I want to clarify something. When people say they're willing to give up two, that means three, right? Because everybody, to trade for the top pick, you're going to have to give up your one in that draft.
Right.
So when you say give, and I don't consider that giving up, you're swapping first-round picks. Are people saying they're giving up the swapped pick and two ones?
I don't think so. I think they're just talking about two first-rounders.
See, I think that, yes.
Okay, because that's a big deal.
You think they are?
Yeah. That's a big deal to me.
Because I don't think anybody. I mean, you're giving that. Basically, you're saying I'm going to give you a first round pick. That's not two first round picks. That's one.
Right.
I think when you say two first round picks, you mean swapping the picks plus two first round picks.
Because that's a big trade to me.
That's how I look at it.
To get a
anyway.
Franchise quarterback, to give up a first next year, to move up to get this year is nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now the next 2 years first round picks plus moving up this year. Okay. That's an interesting trade. That's a big deal.
And is it crazy?
No. I don't think you can ever overestimate the value of a great quarterback.
Right. I mean,
you think he's great, go get him. Now, I'm hearing there's already starting the rumblings that people think RG3 could go ahead of him. That by the time the process is all done, that he has the total package. He's better than Cam Newton. He can be a greater instant impact because of his athleticism on a bad team. You might need this, X, Y, Z. There's already that undercurrent of he could go ahead of Luck. I don't think it'll happen. I find that hard to believe, but stranger things have happened. So if you think Luck is great, if you think RG3 is great, then go get him. Pay whatever it costs because the value of that guy is off the charts.
Right. If you knew Brady was going to be Brady, wouldn't you give up three first-round picks for him?
And we've also seen you can't really get a quarterback in the NFL. All these teams that think Kevin Cobb is great, Kevin Cobb sucks. Just like everybody knew, you talk yourself into.
It's like
Matt
half
Schaub
and half.
is very good. I don't think there's a lot of Matt Schaubs going around. I really don't. I think it's just like everybody assumes now that Brian Hoyer's great because our backup quarterback was once good when he had to play. Well, how about just Matt Cassel was pretty good,
right?
And we lucked out. Brian Hoyer could suck, even though he's prepped the same way. You can't just assume you're going to get one. Right. If you think luck is great, go get him.
Yeah,
it's kind of half.
Same thing
half
for a head
half.
Coach. You know,
like half the teams have a passable quarterback. I mean, they either have a very, very good one if you're at the top, or, you know, guys like Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco. I mean, good enough to win with. Or you have nothing. You know, you have just no answer. The other half, you know, is just
no,
they,
but
can't,
I'm saying,
they can't play at all. It's amazing how hard it is.
All the teams
that
have quarterbacks got them in the draft. You can't just go get a guy. It's very, very rare that you go get a guy. When you go get a guy, generally you end up with Ryan Fitzpatrick, or you end up with Kevin Cobb, who maybe they're okay. They're not franchise quarterbacks.
Jeff Garcia. You know, that's
Jags.
Like,
they're right. Called Jags. They're not going to win you.
Donovan McNabb.
Yep.
Right. At the end, you know, when you could get him.
Right.
Most of the time, if a guy is really a good quarterback, he's not available.
Right.
You can't get him. No one's letting him go because he's a really good quarterback.
Probably the one exception would be Breeze. There's a team, you know, New Orleans signed him as a free agent and they ended up signing a Hall of Famer.
But he was damaged.
Better than he was.
Yep. All right.
There's a movie there, too, a Disney movie.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Right, no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
We all know Paul Perillo isn't afraid of a microphone or a camera.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
During the season, Paul can be seen on programs like PFW TV, Patriots All Access, Patriots Today, and Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight. He can also be heard daily on Patriots.com during PFW In Progress, or on 98.5 The Sports Hub during, well, any show that will take him.
I need more airtime. Make that clear.
And we thought Andy had a big head.
Maybe it'll be Patriots Today's Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, our version.
As long as Paul Perillo was involved in that version, I'm all for it.
Now, back to Paul Perillo and those other guys.
All right, back here in PFW In Progress. Andy, what do you got there? You got a report from Ian Rappaport?
Yes. According to the Boston Herald's Ian Rappaport, friend of the show, of course, as always, Logan Mankins has a sprained MCL that he will miss Sunday's game, but it will not require surgery. The team hopes to have him back for the first playoff game, according to this report.
Right. So, sprained MCL, again, there's varying degrees of MCL sprains.
He could be
Gerard
back in
Mayo
a week.
Had one. He came back. Supposedly, that's what Brandon Spikes has, and we haven't seen him in seven games. So there's no telling what this means or the accuracy of the report.
Certainly no accuracy, no telling the accuracy of the report.
So, but not good.
Well, it was not good when he didn't, you know, come back in the game and when he was in pain on the sideline. Did we ever get to the bottom of, did he have the brace on or not? Because he's definitely worn braces in the past.
I don't know.
I just thought they all wore the braces these days.
Yeah, I did too. All these linemen.
Rappaport, his report is saying that he was wearing a knee brace at the time.
No. If that's true and he just tore his MCL partially, then probably saved his going under the knife.
Yeah. TG and NJ writes in, some say having a bye in the first round messes with the team's momentum heading into the playoffs. In the Pats' case, I think it's going to help them. They need to get more healthy, and they have very little momentum to be concerned about. Obviously, Andy is correct. Things don't look good for the Patriots matching up well with any of the other playoff teams. But unlike Andy, and more like Tebow, you just have to believe. Who among you thought they were going to win that Miami game at halftime? There seems to be an element with this team that doesn't show up in the numbers.
I'm raising my hand.
Me too. Andy and Paul are raising their hands. Really?
So did you.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you did.
I wasn't vocal about it, I can tell you that much.
But you didn't think they were going to lose.
Now, they won't like my reasoning.
Well, I
turned to Paul and said,
I hadn't given up.
Matt Moore's going to crap himself here. Yeah. There's no way this game's over.
I certainly hadn't given up.
Well, that was part of my reason. I mean, if they were playing Pittsburgh, for example, I don't think they would have won the game.
Oh, no. They probably would have got blowed out, as Emmett Smith said.
Basically, Miami needed to score 10 more points, and they decided to just, you know, as Andy predicted.
Look into that man's eyes, and you see all you need.
TG says there seems to be an element with this team that doesn't show up in the numbers. Well, I guess I'm hoping there is. And were any of you present in the locker room when the team gave Robert that painting? No.
Well, no media members were. We were in there quickly thereafter, and he was still there. Matt Light was talking to him. There was a group of businessmen or associates. I'm not really sure who they were. And Robert also at that time had a big, fancy wooden box of cigars that he was passing out to the players. I'm guessing they were probably legit cigars, too, not like...
Probably Cubans.
Yeah. I mean, the box itself looked like it probably cost more than my yearly salary, never mind the cigars inside.
That's nice.
Yes, I actually watched him. He gave one to Brian Waters, and they had a nice conversation, and he was going around kind of interacting with every player and giving him a cigar, and it was nice. It was
kind of
nice
like a Christmas present, maybe?
I don't know exactly the... If it was about the clinching and the home game, you know, kind of thing, or...
I didn't get a cigar.
You're never happy.
Maybe
where's that picture going,
maybe
by the
when
way?
When you get that, you say, it's a bye, and you give everybody cigars instead of it's a boy.
That would have been good. It would have been funny. I don't think that's what was happening, but... Where's that painting going to end up, you think?
I don't know.
I wonder if that'll become... You know, if that's personal, if that goes home, or if that becomes part of maybe the stadium or somewhere
I don't know
visible to all or large groups.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Did you have a good Christmas?
We did. How about you?
I had a good one except for Saturday. I had a great one afterwards, but I got drunk during the halftime.
You got drunk during halftime?
They pulled the game out in case you didn't weren't aware.
I know. That's what sobered me up a little bit. I saw them sort of pulling right back. You know. But I like after that first quarter, I'm like, oh, heck no, not this.
Yeah, no, it didn't start well.
No, it didn't. But I think they need to, you know, I'm just saying about the line, you know, with Mankins out and Light. And Bomber, this weekend, I think they try to play to win because they try to get their home field advantage throughout the playoffs, so they can rest some people and get them back. That's what I think.
The rest doesn't become any longer if they win or lose. It's the same week off.
They already have the bye, and they already have the first home game. The only thing you're really playing for is to host the AFC title game, yeah.
I mean, now you could say, you know, not having to travel
Yeah, but where are you going to travel
right.
to? Baltimore?
Right.
Pittsburgh?
Right.
They're both like an hour and a half flight away. I mean,
yeah,
even the traveling isn't going to be that bad.
You're ruling out San Diego?
I think we're playing at home probably better for the team than going over there. But Pittsburgh, Ravens scare me too, especially our defense. You know, but
you're going to play one of
what
them.
It is.
Maybe. Yeah, it is the what
way,
it is at this
you
point.
You know what? The way this season has gone, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't play either one of them.
Really?
Well, you still got Oakland. They got Speakers.
It's almost impossible for them not to play one of them.
You know, but I don't know if Oakland get there or not, whatever. But I also see that they cut Vatrone again and McKinley.
Yeah.
I think they can try to add two offensive linemen since Mankins and Lights Out.
Could be.
It's certainly a possibility.
Yeah, and they have one more on the practice squad, Copa.
That the Copa. Yeah,
right?
Copa.
Yeah. I think that's probably... Probably a realistic expectation, Eldridge. They'll need another offensive lineman.
Okay. So how you feel about this game coming up Sunday?
I don't know if you were listening live or just calling in, but I think that if Mankins isn't playing, and we just got a report that he isn't, I don't know how accurate it is, but if he's not playing and Light isn't any better, I wouldn't even play Brady. I wouldn't put him out there.
I wouldn't either, but I think Bill will just to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
And if it gets too rough, he probably pull him out and put all you in. Might even see Mallett. Who knows?
Yeah, I'd be stunned if Brady doesn't play, unless he's hurt.
Now, if he can't play or if he's really physically banged up, but I think Brady's going to play. I don't think all the line stuff and will play into Bill's decision, really.
And I think that regardless of who plays, Eldridge, I think that they will have a pretty easy time of it. I think they're going to win by a lot. I originally, on Saturday, I was wondering if maybe Buffalo got it back together a little bit offensively, and I was wondering, only because the Patriots' defense has struggled so much. But then I realized, really, they didn't do much offensively in the game. It was all Tebow that handed them points. So, yeah, Brady's not going to be doing that. And I don't even think Hoyer will be doing that if he were to play. So I don't think it's going to be much of a worry in the game.
Okay. Do you think McCourty is going to have a wake-up call and learn how to cover corners, cover receivers? I mean, that would make me go back to the bin and grab my Hennessy. Every time I'm seeing Brandon Marshall going down the field, I'm like, damn.
Yeah, that's a problem. And no, I don't think he's going to get a wake-up call this year. I think his head is spinning. I think he's playing catch-up all the time. And I think all you can hope for is that next year you look back and say, wow, that was just a weird year that he really stunk for some reason. I think that's all you can hope for.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, hope
you guys have a good day.
Okay, thanks, all right, Eldridge. You just hope he falls somewhere in the middle of his first year and his second year.
Otherwise, he's going to be the poster child for what we've talked about, these rumblings that, you know, these DBs say they're better when they get here because they play on athleticism, and then when they start thinking too much, they can't play. He's going to be the poster child for that going wrong because he does look lost out there. He just looks, you know, even the pass interference where it just nothing is right.
Well, that was a bonehead play.
But yeah. It's almost like his body did something his mind didn't want to do.
Right.
I don't even know what happened.
He had a couple breakups that
were
nice plays.
It's like he's losing track of where he is at times.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But
let's be honest, Fred. We're in Ochoville with him where anything good happens, it's an event, and we cheer it because the bad is so expected. He still got toasted down the field by Hartline, toasted down the field by Marshall. That is what that is.
Yeah. Yep.
It's funny.
And that first one, it looked like a double move again. Well, where he just bites and the guy
there were
runs
a couple
right
of
by
those.
Him.
I mean,
he just bites, all right.
Was there three different 35-plus receptions he allowed in that
At
game?
Least two.
I think Marshall had two over 40, and Hartline had one.
Hartline had one that was 39, I believe.
That was over 35, yeah. So, yeah, he struggled. And it's funny, like even the pass breakups, and he did make one really, really good one, but it was like 3rd and 18.
Right.
It was the same thing in the Washington game that we were talking about. It's like, you know, you can't let a guy run by you on 3rd and 18, you know. I don't know. I don't know what the I wish I had an answer to that. I'm sure Bill does, too, because, you know.
Sure McCourty does, too.
They could put an end to it, but he has just had a miserable season.
Let's see. Mike writes in, and he says, first, I'd like to thank Auto Trader, Paul, and especially Andy for my wife's pink muff. Earmuffs, of course. What was that, an inside joke?
Well, we take care of the wives on the pregame social. We like to make them feel like they're a part of the show.
Oh, that's nice. Paul, do you have the same memory for life events as you do for Patriots games? It's really amazing.
Usually
I watch
not.
Every game more than once, and I still have trouble remembering last month's game. No, he's a savant when it comes to that.
He's an idiot.
And Paul, who seems to think Steve Young was overrated and only threw parallel to the line of scrimmage, must think similarly about Brady. Young's average per attempt is better than Brady's, and even with this awful year in Tampa, his career rating is a tad better than Brady's. Do you hate him because he's a douche, or do you really think he wasn't a great quarterback? Well, but look at yards after catch for Steve Young. You know, when he hits, you know, Jerry Rice on a little quick slant, Rice takes it the rest of the way.
And first of all, do I think he wasn't a great quarterback? No, I exaggerate too. Make my point, but I do think he's a tad overrated. The whole yards per attempt thing and rating, he never threw the ball down the field consistently. I mean, I'm not saying he never threw bombs. We see highlights of him in the Super Bowl against San Diego throw a couple of deep seam routes to Jerry Rice. When you have that offense that they ran when they first started that West Coast thing, that even Montana to an extent I thought was guilty of this, you're going to complete every pass. Your percentage is going to be very, very high because they're all high percentage throws. And like Fred said, the way that they ran it, you're going to get some yards after the catch. So you're going to get a decent yardage total, and you're going to have all completions. That makes your yards per attempt go high. I don't know. I thought there was a huge difference, for example, between Montana and Young. And I bet you Young's numbers are better than Montana's in terms of rating and all that stuff. I bet you Steve Young has better numbers.
Well, Young has the record, right? Career rating record?
I don't know.
I believe he has the highest career rating.
You might be right.
Lastly, Mike says, please give your opinions on why the heck the NCAA has top 10 teams playing unranked teams in bowl games. Any explanation other than the best chance to make money? I don't know, the top 10 teams that play unranked teams in bowl games.
I don't know who that would be, but I know sometimes you get those because there are teams that had good years that are ranked high, but they're not necessarily traditional powers. One this year is Baylor.
Yeah. They're playing Washington.
They're like 12, I think. But they probably got a lower bowl than they deserved because of who they are. And
right.
You know, they're not a guaranteed draw.
That's,
you know, they're not going to bring their fans to every game. Now, I don't know specifically about Baylor, but that happens a lot. You know, they don't necessarily give teams the bowls that they deserve because of they're not, you know, perennial powers.
And it goes the other way, too, that teams that don't deserve it, like Notre Dame forever, has gotten because they can sell it out. They'll sell
right.
their tickets and they'll make money and they'll be,
right.
you know, even television ratings. I mean, Notre Dame is popular.
That's all, what it's all about. The Benjamins. 508-298-0398.
The Benjamins.
Jeff from Vegas is on the line. Hey, Jeff.
Speaking of the Benjamins.
Yes, speaking of Benjamins. First off, I know what Andy's tongue might be in Brooklyn Decker. Eric on his day off may be in Brooklyn Matt.
Wow.
Well done. I like it.
Yeah, guys, good lesson in that game regarding gambling. I mean, we had it. We had New England covering. We had the under. And then the Patriots defense gives up a 90-yard drive and a 41-yard third and 10 bomb to Miami. It just goes to show the vicissitudes of gambling.
I don't know about that, but it's an inexact science.
Yes, it certainly is, and a ball bouncing either way can really make or break you. So you don't want to be doing this necessarily with the rent money, as they say.
Plus, with this defense, I wouldn't feel good no matter what about unders and covers and anything because it can get ugly at any time with this defense.
Sure.
The tackling.
Yes.
It's not even just the deep plays. I don't have any confidence in their tackling. I can see screen passes that if you get an athlete out there, he could go the distance anytime.
Well, it's not just Patriots. Did you see the come on man last night on Monday Night Countdown?
I think I did.
There was one guy, I'm sorry, I forgot. I think it was the Seattle game, but the guy's running for the end zone, and the defender literally just kind of, you know, ducks his shoulder a second and then comes back like, you know, he didn't want to touch the guy. It was unbelievable.
Was Brady running?
How blatant it was.
And I was watching the game again in the sports book. Like Andy Hart, I really have the gift of being able to annoy people.
And so, we know, and all our listeners know, too.
And so when that game sort of turned and you could see the momentum changing, you could just feel New England coming back. And then sure enough, you know, Brady puts them ahead by 10. But it's like the third or fourth week in a row that the defense just, you know, a lot of the people do have New England. And just the defense is just killing the, you know, New England has not covered three out of the past 4 weeks.
Yeah. How do you think Belichick and Brady feel? It's what we talked about. I don't know if it was on this show or whatever. At some point, I know they're not going to point
Jeff.
Fingers in the media, but you know these offensive players are like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like inside, they're just human beings.
Well, Saturday had to be a good example of that. Okay, we fall behind 17-0. We did nothing. And we hit him with a 27-point haymaker. And there's, you know, whatever, 10 minutes left in the game. Really? Can that be enough? Or do we really have to be back on the field having to get a first down to make sure we win this game?
I keep coming back to the Brady voice and the sound effects. Oh, this isn't good. When they're scoring against Indy, this isn't good. This isn't good.
You know, like the email before that said, you know, the garbage yards. Those aren't, I mean, I asked you this specifically during the game. That wasn't a garbage drive.
No.
That made you have to continue to play offense. Now, Philadelphia, that was a garbage drive. Oakland, I think, had one earlier in the year where they went like 99 yards in the fourth quarter. That was a garbage drive. But, you know, when the other team scores to get within three and they have all three timeouts and the two-minute warning.
Right.
They didn't even have to onside kick. They kicked it deep and took their chances.
So was Indy garbage or not garbage? Did it start out garbage and then went into the not garbage?
Yeah. I think I would put that more in the garbage category. But, yeah, it got too close. No doubt about it.
All right. Slow day today. emails are kind of trickling in, but not at the pace that they usually come.
No one should be listening live.
Just Jeff in Vegas and Eldridge calling in.
Yeah, the degenerate gambler and the truck driver who's got nothing better to do than talk to us.
He's just getting over his hangover from the halftime of the game.
Fantasy.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email
address.
He's
a funny guy.
And he's one of those people that his laugh makes him funnier. He's like contagious. Yeah. You just want to laugh when you hear him laugh.
508-298-0398 is the phone number.
He's complaining that it's all slow, and then we start talking. And
I thought he wanted to fill. I thought he wanted us to fill a little bit, and then... What are you doing over there?
Reed points out a big mistake. He says, Fred, figured you would want to know that on today's Patriots News Blitz, instead of the word deficit, the word defecate is written. The sentence reads, he also made one of the big plays that helped the Patriots come back from a 17-point defecate. I feel the mistake was intentional because this game was one load of defecation. I think we've since fixed that.
I have no problem with it.
You don't?
No, I think it's funny. Keep people on their toes while they're reading.
Not if you didn't mean it to be funny.
I think.
Go ahead, right, Paul.
Hands up. You're okay?
I'm good.
What does hands up mean?
When you're little, when someone starts coughing, you tell them to put their hands up.
Why?
I don't know.
In case they're choking.
Apparently this went out, before I was little.
Before they learned the Heimlich maneuver?
What is the arms up?
I don't know.
I've never heard that before. That must be an old guy thing.
He really is just the king of misery.
Paul, do you have those wraparound glasses that when you drive, those big glasses?
The black ones are like the thing.
Fred, you had the line of the game, too.
What?
I had predicted 27-17 Patriots final.
Right.
Now, obviously, I didn't predict them to fall behind 17-0 and score 27 points in a row. So the way that I thought it would get there wasn't necessarily accurate. And leave it to none other than the king of misery to point that out to everybody. Fred turns to me and says, wow, Paulie, you're going to get this one exact, 27-17. And then before I can even say, well, geez, thanks, Fred. I can't even turn and acknowledge the fact that you're giving me props. To my left, Andy, yeah, but this has nothing to do with the game. He didn't have anything to do with the game. So Fred accurately points out, you're unbelievable. You can't let anybody be happy. It's like, I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah, but you were sick last year.
Right. Well, you can't.
He's the king of misery.
You don't let anyone enjoy anything.
I'm just objective. I'm honest.
I'm going to stop being objective about your draft.
Didn't I do it?
That's what I'm going to
start doing.
The
pregame social, somebody said something good, and I said, well, not really. it was about me. Oh, the interview.
Well, you just
somebody
miserable.
Said I had a good interview with Wes Welker.
But you said it wasn't
was
good
mad.
Because you said Because
I said in the middle of it. And to me, that's very unprofessional. That's very amateurish. You're talking to a potential Hall of Fame receiver. You sound like a tool.
Well, it's like years ago, former webmaster Rick Ames, he bought his first new car. He bought his first new car. I think it was a Kia or a Hyundai or something.
I think it was a Kia.
So he comes in I just got my first car. It's a Kia. Brian Morey. Oh, that got really bad ratings. I'm like, Brian.
That's an awful car.
Brian, let the kid enjoy.
He's literally
still got 59 payments left on
right,
it.
It still had like the paper down,
right.
Where the mats are supposed to be. I mean, he was so excited and. It's very Andy Hart-like.
Don't ever say that again. Don't ever compare me to Brian.
Sometimes you just have to shut up.
It's like my buddy in college buys his first car, Volkswagen Jetta, brings it home. We go, we all come over to see it. His grandfather steps one foot out of the house and goes, I'm not setting foot in that Nazi sled.
Yeah, but at least he has,
humor.
History.
That's humor.
And is funny. I would have said it's a girl car. That's what I would have said.
A Volkswagen Jetta?
Yeah, it's a girl car.
It's a girl car.
Yeah.
Why? Because it doesn't have four-wheel drive.
No girls
what the
just
hell does
seem
that
to
mean?
Drive it. It's a girl car. It's a chick car.
He goes, what the hell does that mean?
What, does it have a period once a month?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
My wife has a Honda CRV. I'd call that a girl car. When I drive it, I feel like I'm driving a girl car.
Ay, ay, ay.
You don't think there's girl cars and male cars? Like certain cars that it's just all women?
Well, I guess
Beth used to have the Cabrio.
Like, by the way, your car is a man's car. I don't see a lot of women driving around in these big, boaty black Cadillacs. That's a man's car.
Well,
I'm a man.
There's like a Honda Accord to me is just run of the mill. It can be a guy, a girl. I mean, unisex. But there's definitely male and female cars.
So there's female and male cars.
Paul, am I wrong?
No,
I think there are cars that.
A Volkswagen Beetle.
A Volkswagen Jetta was
Beetle.
One of them.
A Beetle
is even worse.
Oh,
they put the little flower in there. I mean, obviously they're.
But that's for lesbians, isn't it?
No, I think that's the Subaru.
Oh.
Subaru.
I think they call it the Lesbaru.
Now that we have offended a vast majority of our audience.
My sister-in-law drives a Subaru. She's married.
I like Subarus.
No, I'm just saying we're offending people.
We had an Outback
for like a day until you traded into something better.
Yeah. Then she got a Subaru, the fancy SUV, Tribeca or Tribera, something like that.
Film Festival.
And now she's got a Volkswagen. But
what
it's
kind?
A Passat, I think.
Oh, the Passats get a little balls to them, right?
Passat.
Well, it's a diesel. Gets 40 miles per gallon.
Nice.
It's nice. So.
Despite the fact he gets a new car every 2 years, I think that kind of cuts out of the mileage savings.
Let's see. Webradio at Patriots.com. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Craig is in South Carolina. Is this the Craig?
Whoa!
This is the Craig.
Whoa!
Back from the grave.
Now, wait a minute. You're back in South Carolina?
No, I'm not, but that's the only way you guys would know me.
Oh,
I'm Craig from Philly.
What's going on, Craig?
Hey, I've just been listening to the show. I'm not at work. Internet security at work doesn't allow any streaming media or whatever, so I haven't been able to listen to you guys. But I come back in, when I get home and I listen to your show, and you guys, as usual, have been doing a great job.
Thank you, Craig.
We've missed you.
Hey, I've missed the hell out of you guys. That's why I'm listening to your show all the time.
Nice. And you're on vacation and you're listening at home today? Is that the deal?
I'm on vacation all week, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, who knows? I might call in tomorrow.
We'll be here.
I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse.
We'll find out tomorrow. What'd you get for Christmas? You get a Gronk jersey?
Actually, I picked up a Teddy Bruschi jersey.
Oh, nice. Going with the legend.
Yeah. My next jersey I'm looking for is Rodney Harrison.
You can't live in the past. You might need to get a current player.
No, I've got plenty of current player jerseys.
What do you got?
Believe it or not, I've got an Ocho Cinco.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, that's a standing joke up here in the Philly area. How do you stop 85? Put a Patriots jersey on them.
I like
good.
It.
That's a good one.
That's good.
And, of course, I got all my Brady jerseys and whatnot.
You got a Woodhead?
No, I don't have a Woodhead. What I am going to be getting, because I think he's going to be really good down the line, is a Dane Fletcher jersey.
Okay. Paul would yell at you, but I'm okay with it.
I think he's showing some promise. I mean, he played really well in preseason. Of course, he's playing against a bunch of backups, but I think he's starting to show.
I like him a lot.
Well.
Even if he's not great, I think he's a good guy. That's a good jersey to get. I like him.
I'm a big fan, too.
And regarding the game this weekend, I know, that we've lost playoff games at home, the last couple of years. But I think it's very important that we play at home. I think it's important to Bob and Bill. They want to play at home. I mean, they dedicated this season to Myra Kraft. There's no way that they're going to put Brady in for a half unless it's 40-0. I think Brady's going to play the whole game. I think, we need to lock this thing up, give our guys a rest, get some offensive linemen. Definitely need Patrick Chung out there. He needs to get healthy. Spikes needs to get his legs out, under him. And
yeah, but see, Craig, they would have just as much rest if they win or lose this game. There's no difference.
I understand that. The difference might come if we win game one and we're the second ranked team and we end up having to travel.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's like you're going to Baltimore or you're going to Pittsburgh. It's
and
like
you have success in Pittsburgh.
It's an hour and a half flight, it's not that big a deal.
No, it's not the travel, guys. It's not the distance. Playing in front of our home crowd and our home stadium.
Well, that okay. If you think it's that much of a home field advantage, I get that, and it is.
I think the other two would be much more worried.
But I'm more worried about the health in this game coming up, because if Brady comes out of this game more banged up than he is, then, what's the sense then? What's the purpose? No, really, you got to keep him clean.
Yes, I
agree. I hear you. That's the reason why we call these arguments, right?
Right.
I mean, because, there's good and bad to each side of it. And I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about our second half adjustments. I think this year, because we started out so poor on defense to start the game, because we always defer, you know, that it has the potential to take our crowd out of it. You know, we make adjustments later on in the game, the offense picks it up, and seems, it appears, that our defense plays better. But that's only because our offense is on the field most of the second half.
That's a very interesting point. This defense certainly can, when you watch it, be deflating. And I'm just a media member. How many times have I... When you're watching them just give up plays, and it's frustrating. You physically can feel the frustration in yourself. And I think that is an interesting point. If you defer, and all of a sudden in the postseason, that could suck any home field advantage you have right out of the stadium. And I think on some level could suck it out of the players.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
notice less and less teams are deferring now. They're taking the ball. I don't know if it's just against us, but it seems like whenever a team wins the toss against the Patriots, they always take the ball first.
But do you think Bill should change his mentality?
Well, I never really thought of it until Craig just brought that up. But wouldn't you, with that offense, and you know you have trouble on defense, get out there and get a 7-0 lead. Help your defense right from the start.
Unless you don't feel you can.
Well, the problem is the way they've started a little slow, now you've lost an advantage.
No, I know, but you know, I know you don't think this, Andy, but we're trying to score a touchdown on our first drive.
That's how Bill always answers me.
And, guys, I don't know what the deal is. You know, it's like our scripted plays for our first series, we haven't been doing that great, okay? All of a sudden, you know, if after a couple three and outs or punts, whatever the case may be, then we go to no huddle, boom, right down the field.
Well, that didn't happen on Saturday. The no huddle struggled on Saturday.
But they struggled in the no huddle a while.
Early in the first half.
Yeah.
Second
call,
half,
Craig,
they stayed with it in the second half.
They were just struggling.
But, yeah.
So,
don't be a stranger, Craig. John in Florida writes in, how does the choosing of the comments work when you do curse words? You have to watch the game and respond to it. So who chooses the comments that other people write? I do it all.
I thought you were going to change that.
It's very difficult.
I thought you might open that up to some other...
See, that's where I get all these people, they write in, they say, oh, how come you're not posting my comment? I literally get, last game, for example, almost 7,000 comments.
Really?
So by the time I look at, and they scroll by, so I'm looking at the play, all right, play's over, I look down at the comments. By the time I look down, 100 comments have passed by me that I didn't even get to see. So I try to go back and see if anyone jumps out at me, but it is really hard.
That's kind of like when I have the tweet deck open and the one that I have for search Patriots
right.
just whips by.
Right.
And the only one that catches my attention is usually like a woman with big boobs or something in the little picture.
So, you know, literally almost 7,000 comments were sent in during the game last game. So it's
and how many do you post?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Probably
not even 10%. You don't post 700.
Not even 10%. No, not even 10%.
Probably post 100, 200, something like
that. Yeah. You know, and I try to look for different people who haven't posted before. But
my dog just pooped on the floor.
Right. I'm looking for, you know.
No, thank you, Paul.
Observations. But one of the things we're thinking about, I brought this up in the game to you guys, is maybe we do one game where I don't take any comments, but all you guys have access to the Cover It Live, and you're just putting your observations in during the game.
And we had our usual response. That's a great idea, Fred. What are we going to do about the paper?
Right.
You guys don't
think you could type and watch the game?
No, but I have to type a how scored and some of the other stuff
okay.
we do.
All right.
I mean, we write some stuff
All
during
right.
the game.
Never mind. Just trying to.
No, the answer is get rid of the paper. Don't
yeah,
get defensive.
I think you have a good idea there. I think we should explore it.
I think that would open up. I talked to you. I want to do video. I'd like to do a video analysis at halftime with Paul and I talking and breaking down the first half, what they need to do in the second. All these things would be easier and more fundamentally feasible.
Well, I would be interested.
The post-game show.
I would be interested if anyone has any suggestions for the in-game blog to make it better, because I know there's probably a better way than I'm doing it, because I'm literally watching the play, looking at comments, trying to answer the comments before the next play starts.
You need an intern.
The best part,
comments.
The best part is when something happens like Saturday, Logan Mankin starts at left tackle. And, you know, on about the third series of the game, Fred takes out his earphone, because he always has his earphone in, and he'll look down at me and Andy and go, Mankin's playing tackle? Now, I'm exaggerating this week, because obviously that was a huge story. But there are times when something happened like three series earlier, and we all talked about it, and then Fred takes his little earplug out.
Well, that's another issue. Have you really gone deaf a little?
Why?
We say stuff to you a lot that you don't respond to.
Well, I've got the ear plug in. I'm listening to the broadcast.
Well, why don't you put the ear in the other one so you can hear us?
It's hard.
That's what... Never
mind. It's hard to listen to, you know, and also listening to the press box announcer, too.
Well, I think you could do without that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh in Arlington, Virginia says, I'm listening live. I'm stuck at work. Thanks for having a show. This makes the day a lot less painful. Hope you all had a good Christmas, except Eric. And it sucks about Mankins. It just bothers me that he's not in today. Why isn't he in today?
I don't know, but since you're bothered in his boss, find out. Fire him.
Let's see.
Can you imagine how defensive he'll be?
Patrick in Brooklyn, New York is calling on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Do you know Matt, Patrick?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Not everybody in Brooklyn knows each other?
And that's good for you.
Not everybody. Brooklyn's a big city, man. If
really?
From Manhattan, it'd be the wow.
If you see
city
a,
in the country.
If you see a douchey guy who looks a little light in the loafers, that's Brooklyn Matt.
Okay, I'll keep an eye out for him. Cole talk about basically the secondary issues. Merriweather, going back to something you guys had talked about earlier in the year, Merriweather must have really pissed Bill off with his off-the-field issues for him to cut him, knowing that he was going to cut Sanders also.
I agree.
That's one issue. I'm looking at the corners. Devin McCourty never plays the ball. Kyle Arrington is now your new number one corner. You could take any of the other corners off the bench and put him in. They couldn't do any worse than McCourty. That's how bad of a drop-off he's begun to have. Sergio Brown, always close but never makes the play. He hit a ball. You know, my father was a plumber. He'd call a guy like Hittabo a pair of hands. In other words, he's out there, not doing much, but he's out there. Hittabo does give good run support, but I mean, again, none of these guys can make a play on any ball in the air. And lastly, and I'd love to hear your feedback on this, I really believe that Belichick has to take the two first-round picks and get impact players, meaning that he needs two first-round quality secondary guys, either two safeties or one safety in one corner. And I also agree that the guy Dane Fletcher, once he gets a little bit more experience, is going to be a really good player. I'll hang up and listen to you guys, and you run a great show.
Okay, thanks, Patrick. Patrick from Brooklyn.
Felt like I was listening to the fan right there. You in with the accent.
With the accent, but I thought it was a really good call. And I do agree.
And then he jumped ship when he didn't say pass rusher at any point in his first round. I just don't think this team, I think this team still needs a dominant impact playmaker on the edge of the front seven.
No, here's what they need. They need talented defensive players. I don't care where.
Oh, I do.
At all levels. At all levels, really.
I still think they need an impact pass rusher. I know I'm a broken record, and it's been 3 years that I've said that.
I think they can get by without one. They've never really had that.
They're terrible.
When have they had that guy?
They haven't. You're right.
Right.
They, for the most part, have not.
Right.
And what do most defenses that are good right now have?
No,
that guy.
But they don't have Bill Belichick.
Oh, God.
But I also think that it's different now. I think the game is different.
Maybe,
and I think
it is such a passing league, but I think
but
you
it's
can
not
get
just
by
that it's a passing league. It's so hard. If teams are so good
at
passing,
but hold
the only
on
way
for
you
second.
Can consistently stop a passing game
I know,
is
but,
pressure.
But hold on.
See Brady, Tom.
But hold on now. Hold on.
And
I did this before. I went through all the years of how many, you know, of the last decade. How many sacks the Patriots have had as compared to the league. They never were on the lower tier.
I know.
You know, so you don't need to have that one guy. You can have team pressure where it comes from different places. As long as it's
Mark
timely.
Anderson has 9 sacks and Andre Carter has 10 and Rob Ninkovich has 6
well,
and a half.
This
those
year,
numbers look
no.
good. None of those guys have been
no.
dramatic
but
impact
in the,
pass rushers.
But in the
even
year,
the guy who I think was good in Andre Carter was not a dramatic
in the
impact
years that
pass
we,
rusher.
In the years that we all think that they had good defenses, they never had that guy. They played good
but
team defenses.
But you just completely glossed
right.
over the point I'm trying to make. I understand that they never had a dominant pass rusher, although they've had better ones than they do now. That's not the point I'm trying to make. Nowadays, teams are so efficient in the passing game, the only way you can consistently stop a good passing game is by getting consistent pressure.
And I think you can do that without that guy. You can
do
that, but different ways.
I don't think they've gotten consistent pressure in a single game all year.
Well,
their sack total's fine.
Right. Their numbers look fine.
And not only
good.
That, their pass rush looks to me much improved because of how bad it's been.
Well, oh, it's definitely better this year than last year.
Absolutely.
And, way better.
And that's probably the case. But my point is that it's not always the sack number, as we know.
It's pressure. Yeah.
It's pressures and knockdowns and just getting the quarterback uncomfortable.
Right. And even I just getting the other team to actually pay attention to you. You know how much time is spent game planning for Jared Allen and for DeMarcus Ware and those guys and what that does domino effect-wise to the rest of the front?
Well,
but my biggest
but
argument
I also
for
think
you to be
the same domino effect happens when you have talent in other places too.
Yeah, and you know what? He can't draft the talent in the other places because he hasn't drafted a great corner or a great safety in forever.
He's missed on a few. There's
a
no
lot
doubt.
Of them.
There's
he's
no
never
doubt.
Missed on the first round pass rusher. I want him to miss on the first round pass rusher.
Andy Hart in a nutshell. I want him to miss.
right.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
I know what you mean.
Want him to try.
I don't want another Darius Butler and Terrence Wheatley and Patrick Chung and all these guys who are bodies that are really going to help the back end. Well, they haven't helped the back end. I'm watching Sergio Brown play out there. I'd like to see somebody that can get some pressure off the edge.
Well, what team's first round pick do they have this year?
New Orleans.
So,
not that good.
Right. So again, we're going to be
31.
We're going to be picking
32
really
and 31.
Right.
Sweet.
20, it'll be 28, right? At the best. Probably they'd be 13-3 with all the other 13-3 teams. 27 maybe.
You know, so
you're looking.
There's a pretty good chance one of the two teams goes to the Super Bowl. So
right.
One of the picks.
So if
is
people
30...
are thinking that they've got these two first round picks, they can pick this stud. It's just not going to happen this year either.
The good news is that the Saints didn't get anything out of the pick you took. Do you know that they're the only team in the NFL with three guys over 400 yards rushing? But one of the answers is not Mark Ingram.
Oh, really?
It's Pierre Thomas,
Chris
Ivory. And
Sproles?
Darren Sproles.
Sproles, wow. I would have thought that he had over 400.
I would have, too, until they said Ivory. And I was like, really?
That's interesting. Yeah, I saw Ivory getting some carries late last night, the little bit I watched. I'm with Andy on this one. I think you have to find ways. I even think this year it's been all or nothing. They either get a sack or they get no pressure.
Right.
I think they've had very few instances where you looked at it and said, they got the ball out of the guy's hands there on that play. And I'm not saying none. But, you know, a handful here or there. I don't.
So where are your priorities? The part that started this? Because he said safety and corner.
I think they need somebody, an edge. I think they need an edge guy. I've been with you on that for a long time.
And then corner or safety?
Yeah, but I include an edge guy as an outside linebacker.
Yeah, I don't care where you get
it. Doesn't have to be a defensive end.
A pass rusher, an edge pass rusher. Whatever your scheme is, I don't care what you do,
as long as it
involves him going to get the quarterback and hitting him hard.
It'll probably be a defensive end in college, but he'll be an edge guy.
Well, we get back to, I don't know whether they're going to be a 4-3 or a 3-4 team.
Right.
I don't really care. Draft Von Miller. Draft a guy who can play both. Draft any one of these guys. But you know all these teams that have all these 10-sack rookies over the last 3 years? Named Arakpo and Clay Matthews and
Alden Smith
and Von Miller, Jason Kerrigan, not Jason,
Ryan,
Jeff, Ryan. I want one of those. I want to be enjoying the Pepsi Rookie of the Week honors in September and October.
Even J.J. Watt looked pretty good in that Thursday night game.
Oh, those two white guys, yeah. J.J. Watt and Brooks Reed. How come we can't get any of those?
Reed looks like a dog chasing cars to me.
But he is. That's fine. I'll take a dog chasing cars. We just got the dog.
Brooklyn Matt,
that wasn't
speaking
bad,
of,
huh? Thanks for the setup there.
Brooklyn Matt has some listener-on-listener crime. He says, hey, Jeff from Vegas, first of all, if Eric had his tongue in me, it'd be the greatest moment of his life. Yes, I'm all that and more. There, Andy, there's a belated Christmas present softball lobbed in for you to crack wise on.
You kind of made me nauseous.
You'd be liking it.
Because I started thinking of the Chris Rock. If you in prison, you know you eat an ass.
Jeez. Jeff, it beats being some Las Vegas carnival huckster snake oil salesman like yourself. You're the epitome of tackiness. Your phone calls have reached the level of pathetic sadness.
Kind of like your emails.
There. I livened the joint up a little this afternoon because you guys are boring the crap out of everybody today.
Oh, because we're talking football? People are never happy.
Come on, you goons. Give us a push-up contest or arm wrestle or something.
How about you go out and get a life? Find your Italian model girlfriend and go bang her if she even exists.
The Pats get their asses kicked in the first half and you don't have boo to say about it? Fine. Amuse me some other way then.
Well, they've been getting their asses kicked at various points in games for a month plus.
Plus, we spent the whole week last week doing that, and Fred yelled at us.
Right. We're trying to be positive. The defense is what it is. The offense is what it is. We'll see which one is more of a, hey, Gray Rugemer.
Yeah, I saw him.
Did I not need to stop mid-sentence?
Probably not. Probably not.
Let's see. Deuce is right.
Seriously, that guy claims he's the coolest person in the world. I used to when I was in Donald Trump's limo and blah, blah, blah. And he's listening to us on the Tuesday after Christmas.
We're cool.
I wouldn't be listening to us if I weren't here. We're not that cool.
Well, you don't watch football when you're not here.
I do. I watched the first half last night. It's where I got to rip Drew Brees, who's playing the position better than anyone ever has, you know, except that was Aaron Rodgers a month and a half ago. And I watched last night, and he's hitting people in the hands left and right with potential picks.
Paul, king of misery.
He's giving you a softball here.
I already talked to him about this one.
When does Brady get to play the position as well as anyone ever has? Oh, wait, that already happened for him.
It has.
No, they all didn't play the position as well as anyone ever has.
Yes, they have at times.
Yes, they have at times.
So you agree that both Rodgers and Brees this year, forget the first 75 years of the NFL and people named Marino and Montana and Steve Young or whoever you want to throw out there, erase all that, because in the span of a month and a half, we saw two quarterbacks play the position better than it's ever been played.
Say what you said before, what that person said. At that time, they're playing the position as well as anyone has ever
played it. That's stupid.
Why?
Dan Fouts wasn't great. How did he break the single season passing record 3 years? He wasn't great.
He didn't say he was the only guy who's ever been
great. Right. At the time.
But you're saying it's better than anything that's come before.
That's not what he said.
Yes, it is.
No, he never said these guys are the best.
Are playing the position as well as anyone ever has. That means no one else has ever played the position as well as Drew Brees is playing it. And Aaron Rodgers played it. No, that's not what he said. That's not
what he said. He's playing it as well as anyone ever has.
So that means no one else has ever played that well. He's playing it as well as anyone ever has.
That means the guys who have been the best. I disagree. As well.
That's exactly what that means.
As well.
That's not what that means. Yes. As well as anyone ever has means no one's ever played that well.
If no one's
As well. Not better than.
He's playing it as well as anyone ever has.
Learn English.
So if you deem it,
I don't. That's not what
learn
I
deem
that to believe.
If
that's
you deem Dan Fouts has played it better than anyone ever has, he's playing as well as Dan Fouts.
Oh,
Dan Marino, he's playing as well as Dan Marino.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I didn't see it, so I don't know exactly what was said.
I think that statement says you're playing it better than anyone ever has.
Then you would say he's playing better than anyone ever
has.
Then
you don't
understand
English.
See, that's what
that
means to me.
No wonder you couldn't be a teacher.
That's what that means to me in common English.
You like that, Paul?
He's doing that as well. He's doing that as well as anyone ever has. Means he's doing it as well as ever been done.
As well.
So whatever you think
ever been done.
So whatever you think is the best ever, he is matching it. That's what.
And I don't actually have to pick the comparable. That's the stupidest thing I've ever said. That devalues the statement even more than it was ever devalued. And I thought it was the dumbest thing I've ever heard on national TV.
How about if someone said he's among the best that have ever played? What does that
mean?
That's
fine. I'm fine with
that. But what does that mean to you?
He's among the best that has ever played. I think it's pretty clear.
Okay.
So is as well
as.
I disagree. I disagree.
No, I didn't hear what he said.
I disagree. I didn't. 100%.
You've been on the rant for about 3 months about that. I didn't see
anything you do. If this car is as made as well as any car has ever been made,
hold on.
It improved on everything
else. Wait.
No car has ever been made this well.
Hold on.
That's not what that means.
I'll take my guy.
Then that's a stupid statement.
It's whatever you think is the best. This guy is right up there with
those. So you don't actually have to pick the best? You don't say this is better than the 1986 Mercedes? You just say this is...
Just relax for 1 second.
That's the dumbest statement. It's dumber with this new meaning.
Hold on. I'll take my guy again. Scott Verplank. Remember Scott Verplank? So if he went out to Pebble Beach, right, and played the round of his life, and someone said, wow, Scott Verplank played this course.
He just played Pebble Beach as well as anyone's ever played it.
Then I assume he's played it better than anyone's ever played it.
No. That means he matched.
As well as anyone has ever played it.
So you can blank, just make that blanket statement without knowing the comparable? Because you might think Tiger played it better, and he might think that Fred Couples played it better.
But the guy might be.
If you make that statement, you need to tell me what the comparable is.
What the guy might be saying
is. That he ended up with.
No, I can't. I can't look at who's the best quarterback that's ever played. Because A, they didn't define the stretch.
Wow.
They just said right now.
As well as. We just got an argument about as well as.
As well as.
Because I think when you say somebody is doing something as well as it's ever been done, it means it's better than that.
No.
What the guy is saying.
When you say it's better, then that's what it means.
What the guy is saying.
That's stupid.
Basically what the guy is saying.
That's terribly stupid.
So when you say what you mean, that's stupid.
I agree with you, Fred. If you tell me, including Tiger Woods' great run 6 years ago, he's playing this course as well as anyone ever has. That's fine. You've now given me the comparable. But if you tell me as well as anyone's ever played, you need to tell me what you're comparing it to.
He doesn't need a comparable. He's saying everybody.
Exactly.
He's playing as well as everybody's ever played.
That means
the best. Whoever you deem to
the
be
best.
The best.
No.
He's playing as well as.
No, I agree with your first thing. He's saying you're the best.
I only said one thing.
The best.
As well
as.
The
best. He's playing as well as the best.
But you can't say that without the comparable.
I can't believe we're arguing about
this.
I can't believe it could be anywhere. Now I know what you guys do to me when I seemingly the smallest things.
He's confused about this. I can't believe it.
I am not confused.
You are.
I know exactly what it should mean.
You have to shut up.
I don't understand how you
can. I think what the guy is saying is whoever you guys want to tell me is the best, this guy is playing it
as
well as whatever guys
you
want to throw out there.
Not better than, as well as.
But I don't understand how you can do that if you don't tell me the comparable.
It's a very common
phrase. Well, it's all subjective, Andy.
So Michael Vick is playing the position as well as anyone's ever played, even though the best before him. Just listen. When someone else is talking, you need to shut up and listen.
Yeah.
When someone's talking,
if I say Michael Vick is playing the position as well as anyone ever has,
you'd be wrong.
What part of shut up and listen did you get? How can I possibly be comparing a running quarterback with no accuracy to Joe Montana?
Well, that's
like,
why
I don't
know
the comparable.
That's why I don't think people would say Michael Vick in that statement, because it is so different.
But I just find that ridiculous.
Well, so take another guy then. Take a guy that's...
No, but that's my point. If you're going to make a statement that is a true comparison,
right?
You have somebody in your mind who's the best, and you're saying, this guy's... You need to tell me who you think the best is. I don't think you can blindly just say whatever you deem the best.
I think what his point is I don't – forget about what I think. I'll let you take whoever you want, and I think he's playing as well as whoever
well as
you
that
can
guy.
Come up with.
And
that.
Not better than. Not better than.
Well, then it's just a pussy statement. Either say it or don't say it.
Oh,
but if you're not going to compare specifics –
oh, my goodness.
But
right
you're
now, Brooklyn Matt has got the biggest grin on his face. I asked them to stir it up, and they did it.
No, don't give him the satisfaction of that, because he had nothing to do with this. He's at what? How do I want to phrase this? He emails in as poorly as anyone ever has.
Okay,
whoever you think the worst emailer
is, perfect.
He's tied with him apparently.
You're perfect.
Not worse.
We learned
but tied.
We learned you something today.
Right? You great use of the
stupid. It's stupid. An overwhelming generalization that's based on a specific comparison without the specific comparison is a waste of everyone's time, is idiocy, pure idiocy. It's an analyst who apparently didn't want to say anything while saying something so magnanimous.
Well, it is a way to couch it. There's no doubt.
I think
well, now that I know this,
I think
it's far
couched
worse
a little
statement.
Bit, but I don't think it's a non-bold.
But using your
I don't
thing,
get as offended as
I don't think that you could say
I am offended
I don't think
by
you could say
it.
That
you
every
offended.
Year.
I am.
I think Tom Brady played it as well as anybody certainly last year.
Right.
And certainly in 07, but
right.
I don't think he does it every year.
Right.
So I don't think it's
but
that.
But as well
I don't
as anybody, like, so now we're just saying good is general. They're all just good.
No, I think
Manning did it, and Rodgers did it, and Brady did it. Now Breeze is doing it. Marino did it for a while. Fouts did it for a while. All these guys were as good as anyone's ever been.
Don't
what
you think
he's
that
saying
all of them
is,
are at the top of their
profession. Yes, he's saying
they're all very good
among the top of their profession,
which I'm fine with. But that's not what he said.
But what he is saying is, if you pick whatever you deem Dan Fouts' best moments, Dan Marino's best moments, Aaron Rodgers is playing as well as that,
and they're all
right
equal.
Now.
They're all equal.
That's what he's saying.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
He's saying
that is so freaking stupid.
You
I can't even
in other words,
it.
He's saying you can't play any better than Aaron Rodgers has played to whenever he made that
right,
statement.
Right. So he's saying he's the best ever.
Or no one
no,
has.
Other guys have played as well
right.
as that.
No, not ever. Now it's the NFL passer rating. They're all at 153.9. Oh. There's no improvement.
Basically, that's what he's saying. They've been
well,
as,
then this is,
as perfect
this
as you
is,
can be.
To use a phrase, stupider than the passer rating. Because there's always room for improvement, for better,
oh,
for
my
more
God.
Greatness.
Of course there
it's
is.
It's what makes sports great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it can be greater. There can always be somebody better. There can always be a record to be broken.
Okay.
That's why we watch sports.
Do you believe?
Wouldn't you stop watching quarterback play if you knew? Well, I've seen it can't get any better than that. Why should I watch this?
Do you believe
that's
that
stupid, Andy? You don't know what he's going to do tomorrow.
But he can't get better because he's already been
he
the best. No, he can't because they're all the same. Well, all these great ones are the same.
Do you believe that there's a definitive best quarterback ever?
No.
Of course not.
No, there isn't.
So then you can never say you're.
So he can't make
right.
it comparable.
Right.
Based on your theory.
But he tried. He tried to say he's the greatest ever without saying he's the
no,
greatest
he
ever.
No, he didn't try
yes,
to say
he did.
That. No,
you don't,
he did
yes,
not.
He did.
But
no.
you don't
yes,
know what's
did.
Going
that's
to
exactly
happen.
That's exactly what he was not trying to say.
Well, then he shouldn't have said it. It was stupid.
Well, you
it's
can,
stupid.
You can say that, but that's exactly what he wasn't trying to say
stupid.
Is that he's the best ever. He's putting them up among the pantheon of quarterbacks.
So if you say Randy Moss in
you
2007.
You like that Brooklyn Matt? I said pantheon.
If Randy Moss in 2007, you said, was playing the wide receiver position as well as anyone's ever played it, it means he was playing the same as Jerry Rice, because Jerry Rice is generally considered the
as
greatest
well
ever.
As. Yes, absolutely.
So why not just say as well as Jerry Rice ever did?
Because there's not a definitive answer to whoever the greatest is.
So then it's wasted on quarterbacks, because if there's 10 different answers...
It's wasted on anything. Oh,
how do you
it's
know?
I think that most fans know who are the greatest, and he's...
Who? I think if I polled a lot of fans and said, give me three, I need the three best, I think I would get different answers
no,
from all over the place.
But I think you could get different answers for anything. It's a subjective
Except
thing.
Except for a wide receiver, you'd get Rice.
I think you'd probably get a more majority of Rice.
Right.
But I think it's totally subjective, no matter what position you do.
Right.
There's no answer, so... Why should you pick someone out of the
air?
So
then don't tell me he's playing it as well as anyone ever has.
Because you can't identify a guy?
Give me your three.
You're killing him for a subjective opinion. You're killing
right.
him for
it's
it.
It's stupid.
In his opinion, he
it's
thinks
stupid.
He's playing great.
I think it's
you're
stupid.
Killing him for it.
No. Then just say he's playing great. Don't tell
he
me he's
played
as anyone. I want examples.
Wow, you're being really nitpicky.
No, your job
you're
is
being
an
nitpicky.
No, his job as an analyst is to be nitpicky. That's what any fan can say. Whoo. That Rodgers playing good football.
Look, I'll agree with
that. That Rodgers playing some good football now.
He said he's playing as well as anyone ever has.
So now, give me your little span and show me some Montana and show me some Brady and show me some Breeze and tell me what exactly is going on.
Listen.
Why it's the best.
So then if he did that, you'd be okay with it.
Yes, if he proves to me.
Right, but
maybe he didn't have 20 minutes for this segment.
Exactly,
I don't know.
Andy, I agree with you that the statement isn't going out on a limb at all. But he's in the middle of a game. They're not going to get into a philosophical discussion.
Whoa. No, this was planned. It was a long segment, and they have production meetings out the wazoo where they talk about what they're going to say. So don't tell me he just winged it.
It's not a question.
This isn't PFW TV.
The conversation was, let's talk about who was the greatest quarterback ever. That's a whole different discussion.
We're
going
to talk about how well Aaron Rodgers is playing.
And he's playing as well as anyone has ever played the position. I don't
so
think
ridiculous.
That's so controversial.
It's ridiculous.
I didn't either.
It's ridiculous.
You know?
It's ridiculous.
I just love the fact that we can have arguments over this stuff. I really do.
Let's see. Deuces
Screw you,
writes
Brooklyn,
in,
Matt, too. Take that for
as,
boring.
You know the hands-up term? We're saying where did that come from?
Like when you're robbing a bank and they say, freeze, hands up.
He was saying hands up is a term commonly known in Africa, which when told to another individual insinuates that they will be the ones ending the opposite's life that light.
I'm going to start doing it in point counterpoint.
The opposite will walk endlessly until the hands drop below their head and then their head drops below their feet. I don't know. Anyway, on to the Pats. The only question I have is who do you guys think will make the sixth seed? And do they have a legit shot at Houston? Seems like a cakewalk to the AFC Championship in this situation.
Whoever, how so? The sixth seed has a cakewalk to the AFC Championship?
No, the Patriots. I think by what he's saying is the Patriots would have a cakewalk.
Oh. I think whoever the sixth seed is has a legitimate shot to beat Houston. It's probably going to be Cincinnati, I think. Does Cincinnati have the tiebreaker?
They're in the in right now.
I know where they are now, but if they lose, do they have the tiebreakers?
Snap at me, jeez.
But I mean, I thought
you
it was pretty clear.
Slut, whack!
Do they have the tiebreaker? I thought it was pretty clear.
Don't ask me. I missed the whole weekend.
They're not tied with anybody right now.
Stripper says Andy's wrong about the three sets over 400. It's Ingram, not Ivory.
Then
so
Monday
you're giving out bad information, Andy.
Well, then Monday Night Football was wrong because they said it last night on the broadcast.
Just so you know, I would speak lightly with Andy.
And
right
Craig
now.
Says Andy thinks as clearly as well as Rex Ryan with a microphone in front of him. Wow. That's unbelievable. Kaylee in Canada says, Andy, you're a moron. I can't believe that a professional writer has such
you're
a poor command of the English language. The meaning of playing the position as well as anyone has ever played is so obviously clear. Anyone who doesn't understand
it, as Paul and Fred explained,
needs to go back to grade six.
Well, you need to go back to your mother's womb, you bitch.
Like,
What?
I don't understand that sentence. I don't understand that statement. I don't understand what it means.
It's obviously you don't understand
it. Fred and Paul would like
it.
To apologize for the previous statement.
And I wouldn't because I
would.
The question is, why don't you understand it?
I don't know. Apparently, what are
you yelling at him?
$150,000 education doesn't go quite as far as you used to.
It's been pretty clear for that for a long time.
I clearly... missed the
Anybody
lesson
Anybody other
on
than
it.
Me sick of this DJ Steve Porter guy that ESPN always throws out there?
I don't know who he is.
I don't either.
I don't watch enough of ESPN.
I
really
watch
don't.
ESPN.
I watch the
How about Randy Moss one clap?
Yeah,
I know that.
Do you know who that is? Okay.
I know
so
who Randy
you know
Moss
it.
Is.
Now you know it.
I know. What do I know?
You know who the guy
DJ
is.
DJ Steve Porter.
That's what he does?
Yeah. He puts together all those matches.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy on the internet.
He has been for a long time.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Anybody sick of him? I guess you're not because you don't watch. No, the only one I've ever seen is One Clap.
Right.
And then we talked about getting him on our site, and now he's on ESPN.
I'm not giving you the static that I'm giving Fred, who routinely, on a week-to-week basis, makes fun of you and I for not paying attention to anything about football. Right?
I didn't know that DJ Steve Porter was football.
I can't believe you can probably watch all these football games and not see it because he's omnipresent.
I didn't know it was him.
The holiday spirit here at PFW.
Joel says, hey, guys, Andy as well as means equal, i.e. he is playing the game as well as anyone in that position ever has. Now,
but wait a minute.
If they say better than, that means greater than, i.e. is playing better than anyone.
Which he may not understand. Did he say as well as or better? Because I have no idea
what he said. But it's irrelevant.
Relevant to me.
When I compare something and say as well as to a large group, to a field, I mean he's better than that. If I say that Ray Lewis is playing linebacker as well as Gerard Mayo, it's a direct comparison. That I get. I don't understand how you can say he's playing as well as a huge group of people and not clarify it.
I don't understand what is so vague about that to you.
I don't get it because they're not all the same. None of them are playing the same. So I don't know how you can make a comparison between things that are all different.
They're all comparable.
But they're not.
Yes, they are.
They're not. Because when Michael Vick plays the game as well as he can possibly play it.
Why do you bring Michael Vick into this?
Because he's a quarterback.
Who considers him great, though? Who considers him one of the greatest that's ever played?
A year ago, there was a major debate whether he was the MVP.
The greatest that ever played? But anybody ever said that he's greatest to ever played?
Is Aaron Rodgers playing as well as anyone has ever played for a short stint or ever?
No, but does anybody ever put Michael Vick among the greatest who ever played?
The position, the way he plays, yes. He's considered the greatest
running quarterback. I've never heard anybody call him the
greatest quarterback. He's considered the greatest running quarterback that's ever played.
That's not what I asked you. Right. The greatest quarterback
that's
ever played.
That's my point.
Oh, God.
You are comparing apples and oranges.
You just explained it, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
Wait a minute. How was the guy not great when he was literally?
I didn't say he wasn't great.
Thought he was an MVP candidate.
Did anybody think that he was the greatest who ever played?
Last year, people thought he was the MVP candidate over the guy who ended up being the unanimous
MVP.
That
doesn't make him the greatest who ever played because he was going to win the MVP.
So now Aaron Rodgers is the greatest that ever played.
That's what this guy is claiming. I didn't say I agree with him.
Because I think.
I don't think it's that outrageous of a statement.
I don't even think he was claiming that.
I do. I think it's ridiculous.
He's claiming that he's playing as well as anyone's ever played.
Right.
I don't think it's that outrageous.
Right now.
Yeah, I do.
Aaron Rodgers could never have a season like this again, and it could stink, but that statement could still be true.
And he also could have right now.
Yes.
And Aaron Rodgers,
that I'm fine with. If you just tell me that's what you're saying and who the comparable is.
Well, that's what he was saying.
That's exactly what he said.
I don't agree.
Aaron Rodgers also could have done what Michael Vick did last year.
Oh, my aching head.
And you know, poop the bed for the rest of the season. Michael Vick completely fell apart.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers could have done that after this guy said that.
But you'd still be comparing the two because they're both quarterbacks.
So, in other words, when a guy says a guy's playing at a certain level, that's his opinion forever. He's not ever allowed to change.
No, no, no. But
change.
I don't understand how you
he
can
said
compare
it based
Aaron
on what
Rodgers
he was watching at that
Michael
point
Vick,
in the season.
Or to Randall Cunningham. Or to. There's so many different guys that play the position so many different ways.
And he thinks he's playing as well as the best who have ever played. That's all he's saying.
So he's better at running than Michael Vick.
That's not what he said.
No. See, that's what I don't get. What are you comparing?
Why do you
running
insert the
running
word
is
better?
One element of quarterback
exactly. 100%. Exactly.
As he is saying that ball, this guy is doing all of the things that a quarterback does as well as anyone who's ever done it.
Yeah.
That's all. You could disagree with his assertion.
I don't know whether
I would
do
be
or
with
don't.
You.
But I need to know, am I comparing him to a
everybody.
Pure statue named Peyton Manning or an athletic kind of runner like Steve Young?
He's comparing him to all of them.
Right. That, I think, is ridiculous.
All of the best ones that you could come up with, he's saying he's doing it as well as anyone ever has.
But how do you compare all the,
I don't understand what's so hard.
I don't understand
why can't you compare things that are different?
So,
I don't understand that. It's whatever you decide to compare. It's a subjective
thing. Let's go to some of the phone callers because they've been holding on. Chris with a TIAN. Sorry you had to hold on through all that. What's going on?
Oh, that's all right. I'm used to it.
That's through you.
That's the beauty of us.
Hey, I wasn't talking to you, Andy Hodge.
Yes, you were. It was coming in my earphones. I could hear it. You were talking to me.
Listen,
walk away
right,
slowly, Christian.
You're
walk
totally
away slowly.
Right, Andy. You're totally right, Andy, but I'm not as passionate about it as you are.
I better not come up there and find that water levels dropping.
But Andy, he's now not claiming he has a problem with the statement. he doesn't have a problem with it.
No, I do have a problem with it on multiple levels now. I found out a new level that I had the problem with the statement on today.
I think you could certainly make an argument that he's not played as well as anyone's ever played, but I don't understand what's wrong with the statement.
So is it fair to say that the new Boeing Airbus or whatever that big freaking plane is as well designed a vehicle as ever has been designed?
If it's true, yes.
So that means it's better than the best bicycle, best motorcycle.
Again, you insert the word better.
But I don't understand how you can compare every mode of transportation, and that's what I think you're comparing with quarterbacks.
Look, this analyst is supposed to be an expert, so he's supposed to know
who was good. He's no expert.
And if someone was an expert in design of planes, then...
And bikes, and cars, and every other vehicle.
Well, you know, he's an expert, so...
What do you got, Christian?
I wanted to get back quickly what you guys are talking about, the defense and how the game has changed, and it'd be interesting to see if you could go back to the 03, 04 teams and see how many snaps those defenses logged against 3 and 4 wide receiver sets.
Paul's going to do that.
Now it's all spread out, like you said, and it's more, you know, just run and gun and all that. And, you know, you do need a pass rusher. You definitely do. This team has been lacking it for the longest time. You need it. But the problem that I have now is that McCourty has had such a bad year. How does Bill look at it? Does Bill look at it as, you know, what do I have with this kid McCourty now? Is it going to force him to get another corner early? They definitely need another safety, obviously. That's priority two. So where does that whole line of thinking lead them?
It's kind of like what we used to talk about last year. For a 14-2 team at draft time, they had all these holes that we needed to fill.
And it's even worse now for two. A, we don't know the defense. And B, we don't know what Andre Carter, I mean, is his career over?
Yep.
The reason why they have all those holes is because we cover the team so thoroughly,
right?
That the hole we show the holes.
Their lack of depth is as alarming as it has ever been,
and that's just disturbing because of all the picks they've had. I could see if they didn't have picks and they just gave away picks like Washington does when they trade for somebody,
right?
But they've had so much and they've gotten so little in return.
Well, they give them away too. They just give them away like a year and a half later when they cut the guy.
Yeah.
They don't give them away early.
Conditional and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, that's sort of what I'm kind of worried about.
This is a bad tone we're setting, I think. We're prepping for the postseason and talking about what they need to draft.
I know.
This reminds me of Fred's famous cover. Was that last year or the year before? What day is the draft again?
Right.
Well, I'm excited about still going forward, though. I do want them to get that one seed. I know that last year I felt really good about this team going into the first game. And, you know, this year, I don't feel as confident, but I still want that one seed. I really do. I want it. I think they're definitely going to win that divisional game, no matter who they play. And then I want whoever's going to come in, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, to come here.
Right. Okay.
I don't want to have to go there.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Christian.
See you, Christian.
Thanks, Christian.
Let's take another call before the end of the show. Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey,
I can imagine. You
Merry
got pretty
Christmas,
heated.
Guys.
Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
You're as good as any caller we've ever had.
I'm sorry?
You're as good as any caller we've ever had.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Doesn't mean anything. He's comparing them to all the others. They're all equally crap.
Yes. AID, you're going to have a coronary, and I care for you, so, you know, just try to take it easy sometimes.
I do feel a little passionately. I do feel a little worked up.
A little lightheaded, yeah.
And my throat is starting to hurt.
So, you know, Breeze's performance yesterday, do you think that Brady and Belichick are going to try to work some magic on Sunday to try to beat the record?
No, I hope not.
Are we all just assuming that Breeze isn't playing on Sunday?
That's kind of what I read.
Because, I mean, I'd find it hard to believe, no matter how well Brady played, that he could outpass him by 200 yards in a game.
Right. If they both played.
If they both played.
197 right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 190.
190 is
Yeah, but if Breeze plays, the difference will change.
But if Breeze has got a game to play.
Basically, Breeze got 320 yards
or
310 yards, Brady would have to have 500.
Yeah. If he had 150.
Right. Right.
You know, it pretty much puts it away.
Add 190 to whatever total Breeze has, and that's what Brady needs. And so if they both play, it's unlikely. But if Breeze doesn't play, then...
And Patriots have never been about individual records and accomplishments.
Right. You know, when I see also the, you know, our potential competition for the playoffs, their ability to throw the ball, are we praying for a lot of winds and snow in Foxborough when we play our postseason?
I don't know if we do that anymore.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
Careful what you wish for.
It used to be that way, but I'm not sure that we're hoping for that anymore.
Plus, I don't want to alarm anyone, but the last 3 weeks they've given up some, 550, 600 yards rushing on the ground, 100-yard rushers, 250-yard for Denver, 100 and something for Alou.
I will say, though, that if it is bad weather, I think the Patriots are versatile enough in their offense that they could adjust. You know, now I'm not saying
they can throw.
Yeah, I'm not saying all of a sudden they're going to have a running game, but the short pass could help them as
well.
Well,
they have to be able to throw.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
If they can't throw,
right,
they're not going to be able to run.
If it's, you know, you worry about wind more than anything else.
Right. And then,
well, we may want to be able to have a situation where the wind is impacting the deep throw from the opposition, so we can throw our short passes and progress the game.
Well, I would say
I don't see how we win.
It might be a good thing to say, you know, let's hope for a snow, because Brady can throw in the snow.
Right.
But yeah. I wouldn't pray for snow and wind.
But now we're praying for an exact mileage an hour of wind. So it stops the deep ball, but it's still not quite enough. We can still throw intermediate.
Hey, it's Christmas.
Because if the wind takes away
the deep ball. It's a Christmas miracle!
Yeah, if wind takes away the deep ball, then you become easier to defend, too.
Right.
Even though you can throw in.
Now all this bunching up on the tight ends and Welker is even easier because you have no one running deep. Plus, those other teams have real running backs. They have Ray Rice. They have Rashard Mendenhall. Even if you go to, you know, Houston has Arian Foster and what's his name? Ben Tate.
Thanks, I mean,
they have more legitimate running games.
Even Cincinnati with Benson and
even,
you know,
Denver,
Bernard Scott.
Willis McGahee plays. They're the NFL leading rushers, and you know, you already allowed 97 yards to Tebow and whatever McGahee was on pace before he got hurt in that game, 50, 60 yards.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW
we really
Progress.
On a high note there.
John Rook.
We're going to go hose down, Andy.
John Rook is on the road with the Providence College Friars, so he's not here. We're going to replay this show.
Oh,
and
boy.
Then at 4 o'clock.
I hope I sound better the second time.
Especially the last 20 minutes.
Pete Shepard will be here at 4 with his unique brand of Patriots Radio. So until tomorrow.
He's as big a homer as there's ever been.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.